is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. It's nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Okay, it's Friday. It's Orchard Park. It's a little bit snowy out there. Here we go. Second half of the Bills season about to begin, and the first hour of the John Murphy Show beginning right now. Good afternoon. Welcome to Orchard Park, New York. John Murphy, Donald Jones here in our One Buffalo studio. Outside our One Buffalo studio, a little bit of snow, just a little bit of snow. And the Bills, I believe, still are practicing right now inside New Era Field in the snow. That's their Friday routine under head coach Sean McDermott to practice in the stadium when they're about to play at home. And I love it, Donald. I love the fact that they're out there getting used to it. It might not be this cold on Sunday for the game, but I still love the fact that they're out there kind of get used to the elements. I think that's great.
I think you have to get out there and get used to the elements, you know, the wind in the stadium. I don't think it's going to be this cold on Sunday, but might as well practice when it's freezing cold so that on Sunday it feels warm.
Yeah, I mean, you know? A little sunshine here in OP today and just a light dusting of snow, nothing really accumulating, but enough to get you thinking that it's here. And I can't wait for this game, Donald. I don't know. I get overly optimistic, but something about Fridays does it to me. But I have a pretty good sense that this could go well for the Bills on Sunday. Am I crazy? Tell me if I'm crazy.
It's hard for me to say that I got a good sense just because looking at the film, you know, and the Saints, they are a good team. I think the Bills need to play a very, very, very good game to be able to beat the Saints team.
Yeah, I'll go along with that, and I think they're capable of that. But there are some intangibles that have me intrigued about this matchup. One is the weather, and I'm not going to overplay it, and the weather won't decide the game, the cold weather, but there is that history for the Saints of not playing well outdoors in cold temperatures. Okay, so that bodes well for the Bills. It won't settle the game. There's the fact that the Saints have won 6 in a row. How good are they, really? Are they good enough to win 7 in a row to just keep it going? I mean, is there a chance that maybe the Saints' time is running out a little bit? They followed this up on Sunday with a game at home against Washington next week. I just think it's hard to win 6 in a row and really a little bit harder to win 7 in a row and to be on the road coming off a pretty big kind of an emotional win over Tampa Bay last week. I'm not saying letdown, but I think there are signs that maybe the Saints are due for, you know, a little bit of comeuppance this week.
I was thinking that earlier this week. They won 6 games. Then I looked at the video.
I know.
Because I was thinking, like, man, they won 6 games in a row. To go on winning streaks like that in this league is tough to do, you know. And at some point, you got to have a letdown game. And maybe it is the game on the road, you know. But like I said, then I looked at the video, and I'm like, Jesus.
Was your mistake. Don't look at the video. Don't do
this
the homework.
This team is good.
Yeah, they are good. And you know, I've looked at video, too, and I see what's going on and what's going on for them. I also see some, special teams touchdown last week
and a
couple of breaks here and there. All I'm saying is I kind of like the setup. The Bills coming off a longer week, the mini bye last weekend. They get the infusion of talent with the return of Charles Clay and the addition of Kelvin Benjamin. All I'm saying is I kind of like the Bills' chances here. In fact, we kind of hinted at it yesterday, but I will say this. I think the Bills are going to score. I don't normally do this. I don't normally like to predict, but I just got a sense about this one and the way the season's gone so far and where it might go. I think the Bills are going to put up 27 points and win this 27-24. Go ahead. Tell me I'm crazy.
Win it 27-24?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I think they're going to have to put up something like 27, 30 points to be able to beat this team. I think even if you created some turnovers, I still think the Saints team is going to score points. You know, and based on the way the defense has played over the last couple of weeks, you got to come out here and say, all right, well, Jameis Winston came out, he was hot. He had weapons. He played very good that day. The Raiders offense, they were able to put up some yardage on this team. The Jets offense put up some yardage and points on this team. On this Bills defense, and so the way they played over the past couple of weeks, you got to think, all right, can they slow down this Saints offense? For me, I think I know earlier in the week I was like, man, you don't want to get into a shootout with this Saints team, but I think ultimately it's going to be a high-scoring game, and the Bills are going to have to outscore them.
Bills have been scoring a lot at home. We know that, right? The 20 points or more is pretty much the benchmark, 21 against the Jets at home, 26 against Denver at home. 30 against Tampa Bay, 34 against Oakland. They're putting up points at home. Now, normally home and road doesn't matter that much, but I think it could mean something in this game, Donald. I really do. And I think why not 27 against obviously a pretty decent Saints defense? But I do think the Bills are going to be able to run the ball against the Saints defense.
Now, that's the one thing right there that – and we've talked about the Saints defense, and the Saints defense is playing better and all of that stuff. But the Saints defense, if the Bills offense comes ready to play, all right, with getting Charles Clay back, with adding – Kelvin Benjamin, knowing that the offensive line wants to bounce back from a national terrible game on national TV last week against the Jets, knowing that they want to bounce back, you know, I think this offense should, first of all, be able to run the ball. And secondly, I think they're going to take some shots down the field and get the ball to Charles Clay, get the ball to Kelvin Benjamin, you know, and then use Jordan Matthews underneath and different things like that. I think this offense can score some points on this defense. I don't really believe in this Saints defense as much as I think a lot of national people do. I think they're a small defense, and I think that this offense will be able to run the ball on them and then effectively be able to throw the ball down the field. I just the thing that worries me is the Saints offense, you know, and Drew Brees and getting the ball to those receivers, getting the ball to Alvin Kamara. That's what worries me about this team.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, not a lock for the Bills. It's not a lock for the Saints either. I think it's going to be a really good game. As we said, the Bills are on the practice field right now. The injury update from Sean McDermott before practice today, Cordy Glenn is out. Bills left tackle Cordy Glenn has been ruled out with his foot and ankle issues, not practicing all week, so he will not play. Deion Dawkins will start his fourth game of the season. Wide receiver Zay Jones is out with his ankle, not knee, but ankle. The injury suffered a week and a half ago, well, 8 days ago at the New York Jets. So Zay Jones will not play. Questionable for Sunday as of right now, and we'll get the official injury Sunday report coming up later today. But offensive lineman Chantrell Henderson is questionable with his back. He got injured working out this morning, and now he is questionable. And we're going to get back to that and what that means in a moment. But Henderson not practicing today. Expected to be limited in practice today. Tight end Charles Clay, he's going to be questionable for Sunday with his knee. We think he's going to play. And cornerback E.J. Gaines is going to be limited in practice today. He is likely to be questionable as well. Back to Chantrell Henderson. Why is that important? Because if Henderson, who did not practice today, is not practicing today, if he can't go and Cordy Glenn has been ruled out, what you're talking about is Deion Dawkins starting at left tackle, Jordan Mills starting at right tackle with one backup, Connor McDermott. That's a little thin.
Yeah.
That's a little thin.
That's thin. And I actually got a stat, which I left in the office. but the big dog, Mr. Mike Adamack, actually gave me some stats on Deion Dawkins and this Bills team when they rushed the ball with Deion Dawkins. And I think, you know, they averaged like 2.9 yards a carry or something like that when he's playing in the game, you know.
And Cordy obviously would
be. And Cordy was like over 4 yards a carry, you know. So there's a big difference right there. And that's something that is worrisome, you know. And for me, he's played solid, I think, since when he's in the game. I look back to the Denver game. He did a solid job against Avon Miller. You know, he gave up the one big sack really to start the game. But other than that, it was like, man, they did a good job against Von Miller.
Yeah.
I think Deion's going to be okay in this game. I'd expect for Cameron Jordan to probably flip-flop sides. He's probably going to go back and forth. And you know, he's going to take on Jordan Mills to see what he can get there. He'll come back, and this is a rookie. Let me take him on and see what I can get on him as well. I think they're probably going to try to challenge Deion, but, yeah, you're right. That is thin at the tackle position.
All right, so we want to know what you think about the game. We got some guests lined up to talk about it. And on the topic of Deion Dawkins, Sean McDermott talked about him today once he announced that Dawkins will start at left tackle. The head coach was asked about his progress this year, the second-round draft pick Deion Dawkins from Temple. Here's what Sean McDermott had to say about Dawkins.
I've been impressed with the way he's come into the league. I mean, his mindset, his approach, he's an aggressive player. He really fits our personality up front, what we want to be all about up front and as an offensive unit. He's bounced around, played different positions. That's been a challenge, but he's embraced that challenge the whole way. So, and really, to this point, he's played just about 50% of the snaps, and then Cordy played 51%, I believe it was, so give or take. So, you know, tomorrow's game or Sunday's game will not be anything new for him as far as that goes.
Do you notice him more comfortable? I know left side was his natural position, did all the work at the right side leading into the season, but have you noticed him kind of fall back and it seems more natural on that left side?
I would say to your point, slightly, yes. You know, he does seem natural on that side. He's worked both sides, and then he's played guard also. So, and you saw that over the course of his college career, just about too, where he played some different positions there also. So, anytime you can find a guy that has that type of position flexibility, that's a good thing.
Deion Dawkins slated to start his fourth game of the year at left tackle Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. We had him on the show Wednesday. He seemed good, Donald. Remember when he left here Wednesday? You know, he didn't seem overwhelmed, has not been overwhelmed by any of what he's gone up against this year.
Come on, Murph, you know why. I don't know why we got to go through
the
this.
The Jersey thing?
Yes,
is a
he's
Jersey
from Jersey.
Boy.
He's from Jersey, all right? Yeah. And you know, nah, honestly, he's he's this is a kid that has been through a lot to get to where he is, all right? And I don't really think that anything really – he's not nervous. He's ready to go. You know, he's excited about the opportunity. And it starts with everything that he's been through, you know, just to get to this point. And that prepares him or guys like him, you know, that play in this league to it prepares them for these type of opportunities. You know, it prepares you for, all right, all of a sudden I got to start in a game now, a big game, you know, and we're a team that's sitting right in the thick of the playoff race. And now I have to start and be the left tackle for this team and be – you know, the guy to secure that blind spot for Tyrod Taylor, I think he'll be fine in this game.
Well, I don't know what you think about this game, this matchup, and who has to step up for the Buffalo Bills.
Ball out
for the Buffalo Bills. Who's the key for the Buffalo Bills?
Be swaggy while you're doing it.
Be swaggy, step up,
yeah.
And ball out.
And celebrate. And come. We got to get some more celebrations here. And
we got to get a win, Donald.
Buffalo. Let's well, you know, you celebrate. While you're winning.
Okay, or after you win.
No.
I'm good with that.
You celebrate when you score touchdowns.
No.
And then, you know, if you end up winning a game, it makes it that much better.
Not really. The celebrations don't matter.
Yes,
it's all about
does.
W's and L's. What do you think about this game? Who do you think the key is? That's our Twitter poll. Which Buffalo Bills player will have the biggest impact against the Saints? No, it's got to be a total team effort. We know everybody, all 53, 1 of 11, all of that. But which Bills player do you think will have the biggest impact against the Saints on Sunday? Positive or negative? We put these choices up there. You may have somebody else in mind. And right now, in the early going here, 46% of you think Shady LeSean McCoy will have the biggest impact Sunday against the Saints. 33% of you say the new guy, Kelvin Benjamin, will have the biggest impact. 12% say Jerry Hughes. That's interesting. I think he could be a contributor here. 9% have somebody else in mind. What do you think? Which Bills player will have the biggest impact in Sunday's game against the Saints? No matter how you think the game might go, you can weigh in on the Twitter poll, but how about you give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. Which Bills player will have the biggest impact Sunday against the Saints? We got a pretty good show. Actually, it's a great show. It's our Friday show. We do kind of save the best shows for Fridays, don't we? Mark Kelso joining us at the bottom of this hour, color analyst from the Bills Radio Network. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. Greg Cosell will break down this Bills-Saints matchup and look at some of the other matchups coming up this weekend in the NFL. Coming up at 1:30, Deuce McAllister, longtime running back for the New Orleans Saints. He is the color analyst on the Saints Radio Network. He'll be joining us at 1:30. 2 o'clock, The Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. And Coffee with the Coach, Chris Brown, and Sean McDermott coming up in the 2 o'clock hour as well. We got a lot of ground to cover today, Donald. I hope you're up for it.
I think so. It's Friday. It's Friday.
Yeah. Call yeah. Here from Mike in Cheektowaga. Mike, what do you think? Any key players for the Bills in this matchup on Sunday? What do you see?
I have a feeling that the offense is going to explode this week with Clay being back and the addition of Kelvin Benjamin and the way Tyrod's been improving. I think they're gonna be really really tough to beat this week. I got a really good feeling about this, and I think Frazier's gonna dial up some pressures for Breeze, and I just got a great feeling about this game.
I kind of share that. I got to say, Mike, I'm trying not to be irrationally exuberant here, but I kind of feel the same way. I think they will benefit a great deal from the long week of prep time for this game, you know, the mini bye week. I think there seems to be a resolve on the part of the offensive line to make amends for really a very poor performance at the Meadowlands 8 days ago. And I think on the topic of defense and slowing down the Saints and the topic of pressure in particular, and what do you do with Drew Brees? That's why Jerry Hughes is in our Twitter poll. He would seem to be a key guy. And I had a chance to speak briefly with Coach McDermott today about some of these issues, and he talked about, finding the right mix, finding the right mixture of pressure while still maintaining the integrity of his defense. And we have a pretty good sense of what kind of defense the Bills want to play, right? They're going to be mostly zone-based. They're not going to take a lot of chances. They have not sent a lot of blitzers. But I do get the sense that McDermott is, and, of course, Leslie Frazier on the show with us yesterday, they're ready to, you know, adjust the dial a little bit, find a little way to dial up more pressure, hoping that the front four can do it, but not sitting back and waiting for them to do it if they can't get it done.
I will say this.
Say it.
I think they need to dial up some pressure, but the Saints with Drew Brees at the helm, he has the ability to check in and out of plays. He has the ability to motion guys and say, you know what? I think they're about to blitz. Let's just go empty on this, and let's see what they can do with that, you know, and figure out, you know, who's going to be covering. You know, one of the things that I didn't talk about yesterday, and this is going to be an intriguing matchup to watch, is, you know, who's going to cover a guy like Kamara, the running back, when he comes out of the backfield? Is it Ramon Humber? Is it maybe a Micah Hyde, a Jordan Poyer? You know, and what happens is when Drew Brees might feel like you're blitzing, he can just check out of a play all of a sudden, go empty. And now what you going to do, you know, and that might put you in a tough spot because you have somebody on that running back that you might not want on that running back because you were dialing up a blitz or something like that, you know. So that's why Coach Leslie Frazier said you got to pick and choose your battles when trying to blitz, especially against a quarterback like Drew Brees.
Well, that's one of your keys to the game is deals with Alvin Kamara, right? The rookie from Tennessee who's as dangerous catching the passes as he is running the football, right? Tell me why you think he's a key player here.
I think he's a key player because, you know, he's coming on, number one. Like, I think they're really starting to use him a lot more than they did even early in the season. He's been making plays for them last week. I think he had two touchdowns. He caught a screen pass, which he's averaging like three catches a game, right, which is like, you know, top in the league. Last week he caught a screen pass and took that thing all the way to the house. He broke a few tackles. Everybody stopped, you know, and he just kept going, broke a tackle and kept going. This kid is dangerous, you know, and they move him around for reasons. They move him around to figure out what defense you're in. They move him around for the matchup, you know. Is a linebacker guarding him right now? If there's a linebacker guarding him, I almost guarantee you that Drew Brees is going to go his way because he feels like my rookie running back can outrun any of your linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, I think he is definitely somebody that the Bills defense has to pay attention to because if they find a mismatch with him, they're going to give him the ball, and he's been making plays for him.
Quick feet, seems to have good vision. I find myself when I watch Kamara on tape down, I'm wondering, is he that good or is Drew Brees making him look that good?
Yeah, that's the – you know, we always talk about some guys just get into the right system. I think he's a good player.
I do too.
But some guys get into the right system where you have playmakers all around you, and then you're just another piece of the puzzle, and it makes you look that much better when you get your opportunities. It's like, man, this dude is good. But when you have so many guys, you know, wide receivers that are blazing fast on the outside, a quarterback who can get the ball to anybody from any angle, anywhere on the field, it can make you look a lot better than you might be. But I think this kid is a real good player.
I do too. My number one key for this game, on the other side of the ball, the Bills' offense, and I think they have to run the ball the way that I'm pretty sure they can. We've seen it over 2.5 years, and this year has been spotty. They haven't had the kind of running game that they've had the last couple of years. Some of that, I think, attributable to kind of the shakeup on the offensive line. And they're going to have another shakeup this week with Deion Dawkins back in there. But I think they're very capable of running the football. McCoy is outstanding. Hasn't lost a step, to my mind. And they've got to run the ball the way that they're capable. I think they can do it against this smallish defensive front for New Orleans. I mean, you know, on the one side, you've got Cameron Jordan. Okafor on the other side is okay. Inside, not that good, not that big, with a couple of defensive tackles, Davison and Rankins. Everybody loves A.J. Klein and his effort. He's sort of a try-hard guy, number 53, their strong side linebacker. They have Manti Te'o, who's a name, maybe not much more than a name.
Manti Te'o.
Yeah, but I just think there are opportunities here for this team to run the football against this group. They lost one of their linebackers about a month ago, to injury, one of their starters. I think they can, if the Bills can run it, take time off the clock, keep the chains moving, take advantage. We'll get to the weather in a minute, but kind of take advantage of the home field advantage they should have. I think that goes a long way towards ensuring a victory on Sunday.
As you talk about running the ball, here's the question I have for you.
And yes, sir.
We've talked about all year. This offensive line has been in flux. All right. There's been a lot of moving parts early in the season. You know, they were going two series with Cordy and Deion every second series. You know, they would switch in and out. The whole right guard position was up and down trying to figure out who that was going to be, and I guess it's Vlad Dukas now.
Yes.
But at the left tackle position, if Deion comes out and has a very good game, at some point here, is he your left tackle moving forward?
Yes.
In your mind?
You mean this year or beyond?
This year.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even if Cordy comes back to being healthy, is Deion your left tackle?
I mean,
because you don't want to keep moving these guys
exactly,
in and out.
Exactly, yeah. And Cordy's been in and out, you know. And, mm-hmm. It's the old availability question, you know. And
right.
Can you count on Cordy Glenn to be healthy every week? It doesn't appear you can. You know, he's not going to play this week. So, sure, if Deion Dawkins comes through and plays well moving forward, he'd be my guy. I think
I have to agree with you.
Yeah. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Your keys, who's most important to winning this game, if the Bills are going to win it on Sunday or lose it, who's the most central figure in the game on the Bills side? 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Gary calling from his cell phone. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great. Good. Thanks, Gary.
Look, I live in Louisiana. I've watched a lot of Saints games for many, many years, for at least 20 years plus. Mm-hmm. I know how to beat them on the road.
Let's hear it.
We have to stop them on the run. You have to stop them. If they can't run it and you put it all on Drew, you know, then you can, you know, pass rush, obviously. And that gives them problems, especially them, because he's not real tall. So what I'm saying is if you can stop the run against them, you can beat New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, John, we have to run the ball and run it down their throat a little more, maybe a little outside, but more in the middle of that defense. I think we can do it. If you try to run outside, those outside defensive end linebackers are pretty fast. But up the gut, I think it's our best chance to beat them.
Gary, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe the Saints are, on a percentage basis, one of the teams that passes the ball a lot more than they run the ball, right? Don't they?
Correct. That's more at home. On the road, they try to, you know, they try to bounce it off more bounce on the road.
Why do they do that? Just dome? What are we talking about? What's why is that? Why is there such a disparity that you've seen there?
I've seen the games. You know, they get up their home field advantage or inside the dome. They just play. They throw it around a little more at home because it's quieter, and they can control, you know, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. When they get on the road, they try to run a little more. If they can't run the ball, that's when they have problems. Drew, they put it on Drew. Drew's a really great quarterback. Everybody yes, knows that. But he's a better quarterback, like most quarterbacks. He's playing from ahead.
Right.
When he gets on the road, he has to kind of, you know, you have to run it a little more. If they run it, then they're, you know, their offense is on time. But in New Orleans, they're always ahead. Every time they get ahead in the Superdome, it's over.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It is.
I can see that. All right. Thanks, Gary. Gary calling from his cell phone says he's from New Orleans, or Louisiana anyway, and sees the Saints a lot.
He made me think about the big dog when he said their offense is on time.
What do you mean?
It's just when he said it's on time, you know, that's his thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's on time. But, you know, I think, look, this is a dome team, all right? And as much as we don't want to just play into they're on the road here in Buffalo, there could be some, you know, some wind. Hopefully the weather forecast, they're just totally wrong. Whoever the weatherman is, hopefully they're totally wrong. It starts to rain and everything, you know, because, yeah, look, you have to use that stuff to your advantage. You got to use the home field crowd, you know. Bills fans who are going to be at New Era Stadium on Sunday, you know, get loud the entire game, because you're going to need it against a quarterback like Drew Brees. You're going to need it when he has all those weapons. And your team, the Bills, they need to get amped up as well. You know, they had a tough game last week. They came out flat. They're back home. They want to feel the energy in the crowd, you know. And so you probably have some nice music before the game. You probably have some nice music during the game, you know. So I think, yeah, that will be a factor. That home field advantage should be a factor. They're 4-0 at home. They want to get to 5-0 at home. And I think, you know, it's important.
Looking up Sunday's weather, the forecast calls for rather cloudy skies. No chance of precipitation at all, really. Well, 25% chance, but cloudy and really no precipitation expected. Not much wind. The wind's from the south-southeast at 5 miles per hour, and a high temperature Sunday of 43, which is pretty cold, you know, so kickoff will be 40s and probably won't get much above 42, mm-hmm. 43.
No,
that's good.
Eventually, it'll start to set in those bones.
Yeah, hope
you're,
so.
You're like, oh, man, it's cold out here. What's quarter we in? Yeah. The second.
What do you think? What's the key? Who's the key? And I think using the home crowd for the Bills is a key for the Buffalo Bills, you know. And they're 4-0 at home. There's, I think, only one other team in the NFL unbeaten at home.
Did I take your key?
I don't know. The keys are running ahead of
us. No.
They are,
but I think I just explained your whole key. But okay. You go ahead. You do a better job.
Well, obviously they have reestablished their home field advantage so far this season, and I think this week it's going to be imperative that they keep that going, you know, that they use the home crowd, use the noise generated by the crowd, use the verging on mayhem sometimes generated by the home crowd. This crowd is pretty sophisticated in terms of when to make noise and when to not make noise, and I think the Bills are going to need that. They're going to need everything they can. What do you think the keys to the game and who are the key players? A couple of tweets on this. Bills Fans Matter tweets, and I vote Shady, but I think Jerry Hughes needs to have himself a game. Yeah, I agree with that. Lead the Stampede tweets in, I would normally say Tyrod. I hope he has a career day, but we need to control the clock and keep Breeze off the field. Therefore, this is a long tweet. This must be one of those new long tweets.
Those new long tweets.
Therefore,
yeah.
I mean, who puts therefore in a tweet? It's like new. Therefore, whereas, that's the only thing missing out of this tweet, McCoy has to take over this game, move the chains, wear down the Saints defense, and put up the big Shady numbers we all know he's capable of. That's my answer, lead the Stampede. It's McCoy. It's McCoy with, you know, his offensive line leading the way, but he, to me, is the central figure in the chances the Bills have of winning this game, and I do think they're going to win. All right, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. No one has looked at this game deeper than our next guest, Mark Kelso. He does it every week, and we're going to get Mark Kelso up here. Donald, you got to tell me about this cap you got on here, this brand-new era cap. It's one of the exclusive caps that they make available for every home game this year, and this is the chicken wing cap, the Buffalo Bills wing 950 cap,
right.
Only available at the stadium through November 12th. Then it's gone for good.
Yeah, it's cool. So the cap has this outline, which is the charging Buffalo logo, you know. And then you have the obviously the fierce red right here, which feels good, by the way. And that represents, you know, I guess how hot the wings and how we like our wings in Buffalo, hot. The white brim on the hat represents blue cheese.
Not ranch, blue cheese. Okay.
What are you, a blue cheese or ranch type of guy?
I don't do either.
But it represents the blue cheese. And then on the back, which I can't really show on here, that the snap part on the back is green and orange, and that represents carrots and celery. There you go. It's on the screen. So it represents carrots and celery.
And you got a little chicken wing.
And there's a chicken wing pin on the side that represents, obviously, the wing. You know, so yeah, it's the chicken wing hat. It's the Buffalo
limited
wing
edition
hat.
Buffalo wing chicken wing hat.
Yeah, you see the
stadium
little,
exclusive
little wing right there. Look at that. I mean, the little chicken. Hey, look at that right
down
there.
It's available only at New Era Field and on shopthebills.com, and it is available through Sunday, and then it's gone for good. Would you wear that if you weren't paid to do so right now? Would you wear it?
Actually, this is a nice hat. I would.
You would.
I would wear this one.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Available at the stadium Sunday and on shopthebills.com. When we come back, Mark Kelso joins us on the line to talk about this matchup. Bills and Saints, come on back for that. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here at One Bills Drive. Beautiful day here. The temperature in the 20s and a lot of sunshine.
I walked out this morning. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
It's not crazy. It's November 10th.
Look, back in Jersey right now, it's like 50 degrees.
Wah.
Come on. It was like negative 50 out this morning.
What? It was 20 degrees, 21.
Oh. Well, it felt like negative 50.
I kind of like it. I like the sunshine right now. It's going to be 20 degrees warmer on Sunday. For kickoff, the Bills and the Saints. Speaking of kickoff, speaking of Sunday, our broadcast partner on Sunday is the Bills color analyst on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, longtime Bills safety Mark Kelso on the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline with us today. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, I'm splendid. Just ready to get on a plane down here in Charlotte.
You headed home for the game.
Get back to the comfy confines of Buffalo.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful out today. I just took a look outside. Sunny and chilly, but kind of nice. Mark, how much of a dome team are the New Orleans Saints, and how much of a factor is that, do you think?
Well, I think if there was a lot of wind and snow, that it might create a little bit of a problem for them, but I don't suspect it. Just the cold weather will do it. Drew Brees has played in, you know, cold weather before. I don't know his numbers in that particular situation.
Can I tell
you
what they are? Well,
yeah, tell me what they are.
According to CBSSports.com, when the temperature is 45 degrees or below, Drew Brees, 4 wins, 7 losses.
Well, And again, I would suspect that you'd have to kind of mine down and see how bad the weather conditions actually were. It could be much colder than 45 degrees, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's going to be a chilly day, but not a breezy day. But
right.
anything that you can do to restrict Drew Brees in this situation is going to be a beneficial thing to the Bills, because this team, and everybody's been talking about, are the Bills for real? If they beat this team, then we could put a check in that box, because this team is really good. They've got tons of weapons. On the defensive side of the ball, they play as sound as I've seen any defense play this year, and this is going to be a huge test, and hopefully one the Bills can pass.
Mark Kelso on the line with his color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. Let's start with the Saints offense, and you said restrict Drew Brees. You didn't say stop Drew Brees. That might be impossible, huh?
Yeah, almost is. He gets the ball out in under 2 seconds. He can drop his arm down and throw with a different arm slot if you have pressure. You can knock some balls down, and you can force him off his spot a little bit. And if you do those things and try to impede the progress of those receivers. Now, so many guys these days in a press situation, they get up in a press coverage, but when the ball snapped, they kind of, I like to call it shadow box, they kind of back off. They allow the receiver a little bit of space to escape, but they try to restrict his downfield movement. In this case, I mean, you have got to get hands on these receivers that are going downfield. This is an influence and replace offense, which means if they see zone, they're going to influence one of the zone defenders to leave that zone to cover somebody, and then they're going to put somebody else back in that empty spot. And Drew Brees is going to find it every single time. He can read from left to right, the screen game. He executes that better than anybody in the league, and it's just beautiful the way he does it and fakes the ball downfield, but then gets the ball into the hands of Kamara, who's been just magical in the screen game. So he's got a lot of weapons. They've got an opportunity for vertical stretch, and you've got to force him to move and somehow disrupt his timing if you're going to be successful.
I want to drill down a little bit. Can you just explain what that means again? Influence and replace.
Yeah. So if they understand, if he knows you're playing zone, so what they're going to do, if you have an alley to flat defender, so if you're playing zone, well let's say in a quarter situation. So, because that'll make it a little bit easier. So the corner, you kind of divide the field in quarters, right? So the corners have the outside third of that field, and it's 53 and a third yards long. So they've kind of got from the numbers to the sideline, and the safeties have from the middle of the field to the inside edge of the numbers, and all the way across the field. Now your linebackers are going to be in a situation where they're just outside the hashes, the outside linebackers, and your middle linebacker is going to be right in the middle of the field, probably a little bit deeper, like a Tampa 2, in case somebody goes down that seam. And then if a running back runs to the edge of the field, so the cornerback's outside playing deep, so now they know, okay, so who's the defender in that hook zone? It's an outside linebacker. So they're going to take a player, they're going to run him right through that zone to the flat. If you don't cover him, he's going to throw to the flat. If that linebacker leaves the zone to cover that running back, then they're going to replace him with somebody else, so whether a hook route coming in behind him or somebody coming from the other side of the field, whether they're running a dig route. So you're going to force that, influence that defender to run to the flat to cover somebody, or Drew Brees is going to throw there. And once you leave, they're going to find a way to put somebody in that zone and find the soft spot, and he's going to be able to throw there as well, too. So you better be able to tackle so you can prevent the run after the catch. Does that make sense?
That does. Thank you, Mark.
So as you're talking about, you know, getting these receivers off their mark and really trying to get them to reroute a little bit, you're talking about getting pressure. This Bills defense that, you know, has been playing a lot of zone this year, are they a team to really press and, like truly try to press wide receivers? Are they a team that, you know, more of a press bail type of technique?
Well, I mean, you can execute a press bail. So what Donald means by press bail is you're up on the line of scrimmage. It looks like you're going to get your hands on a receiver, but right at the snap, you're going to turn and you're going to execute your zone coverage situation. Sometimes man, but you typically don't press bail in a man situation because it puts you in a difficult situation as a defensive back. But I think they can get their hands on guys. I think they play zone really well. I think they execute cover two game really well. And I think they can get hands on them, and then they can turn and run and get themselves in a zone position in a proper leverage situation where they're inside or outside that particular receiver. And if a receiver's starting to run inside, they can squeeze that a little bit, and that makes it a little bit more difficult for Drew Brees. I mean, the most effective way to defend an effective passing game is to disrupt timing. So there's only a few ways you can do it. You can force the quarterback to move with extra pressure, play zero coverage. That makes you pretty vulnerable. You can jam guys at the line of scrimmage, try to confuse them with a pre-snap look or stay in the same look every time and then stem to your defenses that you're going to play on a particular down. So that gives them a split second of hesitation. Or you can affect the receiver so they're not in the same spot that you think they're going to be when he throws the football. And you got to figure out which of those things you're going to try to execute. And if it's a too heavy dose of pressure and guys are in zero coverage, I think Drew Brees can throw to tight windows. He's going to find opportunities if you don't get there. If you force him off his spot, that seems to be the best thing to me. But, again, to do that, you're probably going to have to bring extra defenders. So I would say you're going to collision guys at the line, get back into your zone coverages. Sometimes you're going to rush five and get yourself in man, and other times you're going to rush three, drop a middle linebacker or drop a nose tackle, a Dolphus or one of those guys back for that shallow crosser and put a lot of guys in coverage to try to fill up all the passing lane.
Hey, Mark, I heard Lorenzo Alexander in the locker room the other day say something that you often say about pressuring guys like Drew Brees who, you know, get rid of the ball quickly and are not prone to being sacked. Brees has only been sacked 8 times in 8 games. But he talked about rushing him to his throwing side and what a difference that makes. Can you elaborate? And I've heard you echo similar strategy before. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, part of that issue is the fact that the rusher is coming from the side that you can see most prevalently when you're dropping back as a right-handed quarterback. So if pressure is coming from the left side of the defense to your right side, you see it immediately. So that initially puts it in your head that I've got to slide a little bit to the left or I've got to slide up in the pocket a little bit and create those subtle movements, which Drew Brees does exceptionally well, as good as anybody in the game, to try to buy a little bit of extra time. And then he sees it, so it puts it in your head that there's pressure coming and kind of, I think it gives him a little added anticipation to try to escape if he sees some way to escape. But if you put pressure on him on that side, he's not a real big guy. I think he's got good velocity, not fabulous velocity. I think he throws really accurately, but he throws a really good catchable ball. And if you force him to his left side, now he has to throw back against his body. It's going to be much more difficult for him to be as accurate as he typically is. And I think that's what they're talking about. So if you're going to bring five, well, then maybe you slant the line to the right side of the defense, and then you bring Leonard Johnson off the slot, or you put the Sam linebacker up on the line of scrimmage in a first or second down situation, and you bring those five rushers. Or maybe you bring four off one side and you drop out that backside defensive end because he'll immediately turn to look to throw to the other side. And if you take that away with one of your defenders, then that hesitates them again and enables the pressure, the opportunity to get there.
Hey, Mark, we've been talking a lot about Drew Brees and the Saints offense. What about the defense? What do you see in this Saints defense?
I don't know if I've seen a unit that's playing as well as this group's playing right now. I mean, they have the one thing that they have a little trouble with is, and I know they've got the 23 sacks, but I think they have a little bit of trouble rushing the passer in certain situations unless they bring additional pressure. They bring a corner off the slot or they bring a fifth guy. But they do all kinds of things, guys. And you know how I always say, move the defensive line, slant them, twist them, do things to create disruption up front. They do it all. And their three linebackers are as good a group of three as I've seen all year. Manti Te'o is really solid. And I love A.J. Klein and Robertson. I think those guys really understand what they're doing. I think they understand leverage control. They line up at about 4.5, 4.75 yards deep. And they make sure that they take proper angles to the football. And then a lot of times they're slanting that defensive line. So they slant one way. And the linebackers just slow play to the other side. So if you can run to the side they're slanting, then more power to you. But I don't think you can, and most teams cannot. And then those linebackers step to the opposite side and take that up. On the back end, they've got good young players. Guys sometimes are playing home corner, which each corner's on their own side. And sometimes they'll just man up with guys, even if they're in a different formation and they have a tight end outside. They still might be in man coverage. So they have a really good mix of two-man, some man coverage, cover three, quarters coverage in certain situations, and then they are not afraid to drop those guys down in the box in a run situation, or Vaccaro comes off the edge a lot and will blitz in certain situations to enable them pressure. So mean, I'm really impressed with this unit and what they're doing. I'm like, who's the defensive coordinator? Because I love the stuff that he's doing.
Yeah, it's Dennis Allen. Mark, you've effectively served as a buzzkill today. I was up. I was somewhat optimistic about the Bills' chances until we got down the line 15 minutes ago. You offer us no hope today for a Buffalo victory. Is that right?
No, no. There's plenty of hope because if they play really clean and if they play air-free, now they can overcome some errors, but certainly it'll be really difficult to overcome an error that happens deep in your own end or if it turns immediately into points. But I think it's a great test. I mean, if the Bills are they want to go to the land where they haven't been for a long time. We all know where that is. They want to get to the postseason. This is a team, the caliber of team that they've got to defeat. They've got them in their own building. I think they have some opportunities. But it's going to require a template that they've used here regularly this year to find ways to win games. And you know, some of these plays are not going to go anywhere offensively, and eventually something's going to pop. But you got to do some things. I think having Charles Clay back is a huge advantage to the Bills offense because the middle of the field, I think, can be attacked. Benjamin, I think, could find some room in there as well. I think a screen game and a draw game, which we haven't really executed the screen very, very regularly this year, but I think that could be something that can be pretty effective against this unit as well. So I think there's opportunities, but make no mistake, I believe that this Saints team is for real. And the Bills are going to have to play their very best if they expect to win.
Mark, I think I hear they're calling your flight at your gate. You better get over there. Make sure no one's given you anything since you've entered the airport, right? Let me ask you these TSA questions now.
Listen, it's a Buffalo girl who's the attendant here at Delta, and she's the best. She'll hold the plane for me.
Oh, yeah. Try that. I bet they will. Sure they will. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. We'll see you up here Sunday. Right, thanks very much.
Okay, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, en route back home to Buffalo, the beautiful Buffalo, for the game on Sunday. Donald and I back to talk more about it. Our keys to the game. We want to hear from you, too. Who's the key figure in Sunday's game from a Bills standpoint? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. The Bills have wrapped up their Friday practice inside New Era Field. It's a beautiful day in Orchard Park. It's cold but sunny. Temperature in the 20s, and they were out there with a wind chill of like 15. It's a little bit breezy there today, too. And they're done. They're finished for the day. They will get their treatments in, maybe have a little meeting time, come back out here tomorrow for the walkthrough, and then get set to play the Colts on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Coverage right here on their flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550 Radio, with the pregame network pregame coverage starting at 11 a.m., the Bills and the New Orleans Saints. We are talking to you about this game, this matchup, and who do you think the key figures are for the Buffalo Bills? That's our Twitter poll. Let's hear from you. As you look at this game, the Bills and the New Orleans Saints, what do you think? Who are the who has the key role to play in this game? Our Twitter poll puts it out there. Which Bills player will have the biggest impact Sunday against the Saints? You can even go negative and say he'll have an impact for a negative reason. But we put these names out there, and with 2,200 votes in already, LeSean McCoy has the number one impact by virtue of our Twitter followers. 46% say Shady will have the biggest impact on the game. 33% say Kelvin Benjamin, the new guy. 11% say Jerry Hughes. 10% say somebody else. What do you think? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Manny in Hamburg has some thoughts on this. Manny, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Good to talk to you.
Yes.
I got two things, John. I talked about turnovers back 4 or 5 weeks ago, and now I'm in one way saying that if they turn the ball over to us, we win the games. Well, that's pretty obvious. Now my question is, if the turnovers are even, how many games will we win on the remaining schedule if the turnovers are even? I think that's a great question.
How did you?
What I want to talk about is I got a feeling this Travis Cadet is going to be, I'm not going to say he's going to control the game or anything like that, but I think he's going to catch some balls out of the backfield, and he's going to be our version of Kamara. And I want to say that before Donald does it, and then he's going to say that he said this on such and such a date. So I just
this is crazy. You know what? All right, Manny, thank you. Well, now, I do say most of the things that I said. I usually said them, you know, because we can go back and get it.
Most of the things I say, I said, I usually said.
That's right. We can go back and get this.
I got to get this through. Most of the things I say, I said, I usually said them?
Yes. It makes sense.
Oh, we
got to
get. Can we get a graphic made up of that? Or something? I don't ever want to forget that. Go ahead. I'm just going to write.
I forgot what I was saying.
No, what you said was most of the things I say. I said I usually said them. Perfect.
That's the truth.
Oh, and that's the truth. Perfect.
Well, think about it. It makes sense.
Go ahead.
I forgot what I was saying.
No, he took a shot at you, Donald.
It's all good. That's all good. You know, in terms of Tavares Cadet, I would like to see him actually get in the game, you know, and get some action in the game, so maybe some balls out of the backfield. I think he's a good, you know, I guess he's still young, talented running back in this league. I like how you wrote that down.
That's going up on the wall somewhere. Most of the things I say, I said, I usually said them.
That's
the truth.
That's the truth. You're going to add that's the truth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let people figure that out. I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Manny. Thanks for listening that from Donald. You're never going to live that one down. We're going to take a break when we come back after the top of the hour. Greg Cosell will join us from NFL matchup on ESPN. We'll get an inside look at this matchup, the Bills and the Saints and some of the other good games going around the NFL. And most of the things Greg Cosell says he said, he usually said them as well.
That's right.
The truth.
That's the truth.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports. Update
from One Bills Drive. The Bills have wrapped up their practice day. They come back for a walkthrough tomorrow as they get set to play the Saints on Sunday. Left tackle Cordy Glenn officially ruled out of the game with his foot and ankle injuries. Deion Dawkins scheduled to start his fourth game. The rookie will start his fourth game of the year. Wide receiver Zay Jones will not play with his ankle. Questionable for Sunday, it's going to be offensive lineman Chantrell Henderson, backup tackle. Got injured in a workout this morning and did not practice today. He's listed as questionable. It's likely that tight end Charles Clay and cornerback E.J. Gaines will also be listed as questionable, although both are expected to play. At least Clay is expected to play. The Saints starting left tackle and starting safety missed practice yesterday for a second straight day. Terron Armstead, who left last week's game with a chest injury, does not look good for Sunday's game. Safety Kenny Vaccaro not able to practice yesterday with a groin injury. No update yet from the Saints on that. Seahawks have lost cornerback Richard Sherman for the rest of the year. He suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon in Seattle's 22-16 win over the Cardinals last night. Left the game in the third quarter and did not return. He expects to undergo surgery. And the Seahawks could be scrutinized by the NFL in coming days for a possible violation of NFL protocol when it comes to concussion. Quarterback Russell Wilson, in the middle of the third quarter, left the game, took a hit to the chin. He did not show any obvious signs of concussion, but referee Walt Anderson invoked his right to send him to the sidelines for what looked to be a cursory examination. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, his suspension upheld again after a court denied a motion yesterday, and Elliott's six-game suspension back on, currently ineligible to play Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. Sabres in action tonight, 7 o'clock face-off tonight at KeyBank Center against the Florida Panthers. It is the Sabres' annual military appreciation game. Sabres in Florida coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. And from baseball, Aaron Boone, who hit one of the most famous home runs in Yankees history, is among the candidates to be the Yankees' next manager, according to sources interviewed, not yet scheduled. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Friday at One Bills Drive. Home game coming up for the Bills. And every Friday at this time, we talk to our man who is the man behind NFL matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer for NFL Network, or for NFL Films, I should say. Happy to have Greg Cosell on the line with us. Greg, good to be with you. John Murphy and Donald Jones up here in Buffalo. How are you doing today?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're looking forward to a good game. I was telling Donald, this has to be, I would think, one of the best matchups in the NFL weekend, I would think, the Bills and the Saints, wouldn't you say?
It absolutely is, and you know how we know that? Because you know who's going to be there? Sal Powell's going to be there.
Oh,
so that tells you it's going to be the best matchup of the weekend.
I'll alert the media. We'll get the key to the city ready for Sal and everything. He usually waits until it's real sunny and warm up here to come to Buffalo.
Well, apparently it won't be this weekend from what I understand.
No, we're looking at 45 degrees and chilly. Saints come in on a roll. What's been the ingredients of their six-game win streak, Greg? What have you seen?
Well, I think their profile has changed, guys. I think, you know, we always used to think of the Saints as Drew Brees throwing the football, and that was pretty much it. Now they've changed their offense quite a bit. It's much more balanced. I think Brees is on pace to throw the fewest passes he's thrown in, about 10 years, and their defense has played really, really well. And Murph, just before we came on, I asked you about Kenny Vaccaro because I think he's been absolutely critical to their defense. He's a safety, and he's essentially their slot corner. They're a nickel defense almost all the time. big nickel is what you might want to call it because it's three safeties. But that's their base defense, and then that's their regular nickel defense, and he plays over the slot. He's as valuable to any team's defense as any other player. And if he can't go, which it appears he may not, that'll be very interesting for the Saints about how they get around that.
I wonder, we've taken note, obviously, up here of Alvin Kamara. What's been the secret for his early, you know, half-season success with the Saints? And what's the best matchup for the Bills on Alvin Kamara? How should they handle that?
Boy, he's a good player, and I loved him coming out of Tennessee. I thought skill-wise he was not a whole lot different than Dalvin Cook. He's a really good receiver, and they do two things with him as a receiver. Now, normally, and Sean McDermott will know this because these guys study even more than I do, believe it or not, but normally he lines up to the boundary side of the field, the short side of the field, whether he's offset in the backfield or whether he's split and detached. And so you have to be able to deal with that, but he's really good running screens. He has great lower body strength, great contact balance, and he can run vertical routes when he's detached. So he's, you know, depending on if you want to play man or zone, but he's a really difficult matchup in the pass game, and you can still line him up as an eye back, and he can be really effective running with Breeze under center.
How are teams trying to match up with him? Are they just using a linebacker? I'm sure it's different for every team based on what personnel they have, but are they using linebackers or are they using those safeties to come down in the box and help out with him?
Well, if you go man to man, Donald, usually it's a linebacker. Now, if you play zone, obviously there's no one assigned to him, but more often than not, and that can change. I mean, I just watched the tape of the Detroit Lions offense this week against the Packer defense, and the Packers thought that Theo Riddick was a more dangerous weapon than Eric Ebron, and they actually had a safety man-to-man on Riddick in the backfield and a linebacker on Ebron when they went man-to-man. So theoretically, you could say that, hey, maybe you put a safety on Alvin Kamara and a linebacker on Fleener, let's say. So, you know, it all depends on what your approach is. But at this point in time, in the context of their offense, Kamara is a more dangerous receiving weapon than any of their tight ends.
With Greg Cosell from ESPN NFL Matchup, it airs tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. on ESPN2 and Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on ESPN. This week, Greg, we've heard a lot about the Saints and a lot about their screen game, which, according to Sean McDermott, has been kind of a hallmark of Sean Payton's offensive approach. Can you talk about that, what their approach is for the screen and why it's been so successful over so many years?
Well, I, number one, they practice it a lot. It's a repetition thing. But they've also had really good backs. Sean goes back to when they had, I think he does, to when they had Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
So they've had really good backs, explosive-type backs who are very good in the screen game. But that's something that you can run screens in a variety of ways. It, you know, depends on how many blockers you want out in front. You can do it a one-man screen, a two-man screen, a three-man screen. Now we see bubble screens and tunnel screens that you could, they do that with Kamara as well. You can do that with wide receivers. So it's a very, very multiple screen game that they run from different personnel packages and different formations. It's a tough part of their offense to defend.
One Saints offensive stat that jumps out is just 8 sacks allowed on Drew Brees. Is there any way to get pressure on this guy? And what would be the best approach for the Bills from a matchup standpoint to try to disrupt his timing, if not bring him down?
Yeah, the thing is so much of that. First of all, Brees has a great feel in the pocket. We know that. Right. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's played a long time. He has a great feel. The key thing, though, is you've got to try to get them into longer yardage situations because Brees' sense of timing and rhythm in the pass game is unparalleled. And if they can stay ahead of the chains, Murph, then there's going to be a lot of three-step drop. There's going to be a lot of play action. There's going to be a lot of quick five-step drop. And then it gets very hard to really pressure him. So you have to be able to get them into longer yardage situations because if they stay ahead of the sticks, then it gets even more difficult.
Hey, Greg, with the addition of Kelvin Benjamin here, what is that? What do you think that does for this Bills offense as they face the Saints defense that's playing well?
Yeah, I'm anxious to see, you know, exactly how they use him. To me, Benjamin was a really good in-breaking route runner when he was in Carolina. I thought that was the strength of his game with his big body running in-breaking routes. Now, I don't know exactly how they'll see him. I'm just telling you what I saw on tape. He's a big body, at times he tends to be a body catcher, but because of his big body, defenders couldn't get through him. The other thing he obviously can do well due to his size is he can make contested catches on the outside vertically, whether it's back shoulder fades, whether it's fade, just regular fades or goes. You know, so you want to use him in a way that maximizes his strengths. And he certainly can make those 50-50 catches due to his size, and he does have strong hands.
Greg, we've been talking a lot this week about the addition of Benjamin here and how it fits in with Tyrod Taylor. You know Tyrod quite well. You've done extensive study on him. You know, Tyrod's been reluctant to throw 50-50 balls to, you know, yep, to force into coverage. So how does that work with Benjamin? And is Tyrod going to have to kind of get out of his comfort zone a little bit to make the best use of Kelvin Benjamin?
At some point, yes, because you're going to get matchups with Benjamin and just because of his size. Everything can't be schemed, Murph. Everything can't be just a concept. Sometimes receivers have to run isolation routes one-on-one, and the quarterback has to deliver the football. Because in the NFL, when it's man-to-man, if it's one-on-one, you got to throw the football. So Tyrod is going to have to make some of those throws. I assume that's the reason they traded for Kelvin Benjamin, because now you're dealing with a big man who's, I think, a legitimate 6'5". He probably weighs about 235, 240, yeah, and he's going to create mismatches just by the sheer fact of his size. So you have to throw those balls.
Now, do you think that the Saints will, you know, Kelvin Benjamin's, I guess, been Carolina's number one receiver for a few years down there. The Saints will have to pay attention to him, and they will have to pay attention to Charles Clay. Do you think it eases things up for this Bills run game?
Well, that Donald will be a function of what they do personnel-wise and formationally. Because if they line up with two tight ends and one back, then I think you'll see essentially eight in the box, and they'll play the run, and they'll live with the pass game. Now, if they want to run the ball, let's say out of three wide and a spread look, you'll spread it out more, and theoretically you'll have a lighter box, and you should be able to run the ball. So very often how teams deal with a run game becomes a function of what the offensive personnel is and the formations.
Yeah, and, Greg, we've been wondering how much different this offense, this Buffalo offense, might get, maybe not so much this week, but moving forward with the addition of Kelvin Benjamin and with Charles Clay returning. I mean, I wouldn't expect them to, you know, go totally off page what they've done so far, but there's room for expansion here, right, in the offensive approach for the Bills in the second half of the year.
I mean, I'm anxious to see that, Murph, because yeah, I think you also have to play to your quarterback's strength and minimize his limitations. I mean, I think Tyrod is very much a schemed quarterback. You have to set him up for success with your concepts. I wouldn't call him a precisely accurate thrower on a consistent basis, nor would I say he's a highly anticipation thrower. He's not a high level anticipation thrower. So I think you have to work to what he is. There can certainly be more 50-50 balls if he's willing to turn a loose and make those throws, but I don't think you're going to see a whole different pass game.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch to see how that evolves. Mm-hmm. There are other fun games out there, including some of the games going on in the NFL. And, of course, we always keep an eye on Ryan Fitzpatrick here in Buffalo. And he gets a chance to go back to the Jets this week to play against the Jets. What do you make of Fitz and his chances with Tampa Bay?
The Jets have actually played, you know this, you just play them and they beat you. The Jets have played pretty well this season, and their defense is pretty good. They've actually drafted really well defensively the last couple of years and have a lot of good young players. I probably didn't mention this last week because we never did a true preview of the Jets-Bills game, but yeah, I think those two young safeties, May and Adams, could become the best duo, you know, in 2-3 years. Those guys are really, really good. This is a tough go for the Bucs offense without Mike Evans. Their run game has been very inconsistent. So this is a tough assignment.
You know, I want to move on to another game, the Patriots and Broncos. Now, the Broncos really got beat up playing the Eagles last week, and they're not playing like the Broncos that, you know, I guess we all expected them to play like, but they're playing the Patriots this week. What do you see in that game?
Well, it'll be a little different for them. Last week against the Eagles, they played one of the best defensive lines in the league, and their O-line is not real strong, and Brock Osweiler is a quarterback that needs a lot of time and a lot of space. He's not very good when there are bodies around him. I think he'll have more time and space against the Patriots. They're not a great pass rush team, and they're in the bottom third in the league when it comes to blitz percentage. Their edge rushers are Dietrich Wise, who's a rookie, and Cassius Marsh, who was in Seattle for a number of years. So they don't have a great pass rush. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to run the ball a whole lot better than they have. They've had moments, but no consistency. Now, the thing they have going for them, theoretically, is a defense that can rush the quarterback. And the Patriots' pass game is different this year. There's a lot more deeper drops, and there's a lot more downfield throws. Now, Brady's been very successful, but he's paid a price. He's taken more hits.
On the line with Greg Cosell, analyst, executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN. You know, the Packers, it seems like, Greg, are kind of hanging on by their fingernails without Aaron Rodgers. And I wonder if you've seen – how much of a difference you've seen in Mike McCarthy's offensive approach now that he's working with Brett Hundley. How much can he change, and how much has he adjusted to, you know, obviously a different level of quarterback there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the thing is, I always felt with Aaron Rodgers – this was a team that did not do a lot of shifting, a lot of motion. I think Rodgers liked everything static and stable because he felt he could figure it out after the snap of the ball. And you know what? He could figure it out. He was Aaron Rodgers, and mm-hmm. he could make throws both within structure, and clearly we know what he could do outside of structure. Now that they have Brett Hundley, I think he needs a lot more help with design. And by that, I mean I think they're going to have to do more shifting, more motion, more stacks, more bunch concepts, things that define things for him where they did not need to do that for Aaron Rodgers. So, again, I'm not certainly not telling Mike McCarthy how to coach. He's a lot smarter than I am. He knows his players better than I do. But I just sense that they're going to need to do more of those things to help things be defined for Brett Hundley.
You know, Greg, there's a game that's intriguing, and I think it was already intriguing to me just because of the matchup, the Dallas Cowboys and the Falcons. Now with the ruling about Ezekiel Elliott, how does that change things for the Cowboys moving forward?
Donald, I would bet, again, it's hard to know, but I would think this week you're not going to see much of a philosophical change. And if they run well, I don't think you'll see them change much at all. Who knows? Maybe if they run really well, they'll just cut Zeke and move on. What do you think?
I don't know about that one.
Probably not, huh?
No, I don't think so.
No. But I don't think, you know, they'll – in such a short week that they'll make a philosophical change. But I also believe that Dak Prescott has played very, very well this season. And if they feel that within the game as it's progressing that they need to throw the ball more, that they will, and they'll feel comfortable with it. You know, the Falcons, they've been a very odd team to watch this year.
Right.
The thing that's been lacking for their offense is explosive pass plays. They're way down the list from a year ago when they were near the top of the league. Their run game is essentially the same statistically, but their explosive pass plays are just not there.
Hey, Greg, I get sad when I watch the Arizona Cardinals because they're only a year or two removed from being almost an elite-level team. Now they don't have Carson Palmer. They have remnants of that great team, but it's just not there for them. And Drew Stanton just doesn't have it for them. I don't know what the future holds. It seems like they may be headed towards a major overhaul at the end of this year, I would think, huh?
Well, I guess much depends on Palmer. I mean, you know, I don't know how much longer he can keep playing. He's coming off, obviously, an injury if he chooses to come back. They're a team that's a little bit in flux. You know, I didn't expect them to be able to run the ball last night against Seattle by any stretch of the imagination going into that game, regardless of what Peterson had done the week before. So, they're a team that that might need some changes, certainly on the offensive side of the ball.
Now, on the other side of the game last night, Seattle – they lost Richard Sherman. How does that change things for that defense?
Ooh, that's a tough one. He's a really good player, obviously. That could, you know, they've really evolved into a man-to-man defense. I mean, they are high percentage man, particularly on third down. They are not this cover three that everybody thinks they are. So they may have to go back and change that balance a little bit. You might see them play more cover three, more zone. Just because they don't have that corner in Richard Sherman. I mean, Richard Sherman is prototypical, you know, 6'3", long, athletic. He can make plays even when it seems like he might be a little bit beat. So they're going to have to, I think, you know, in this 10-day period, because they actually play next Monday night, they're going to, I think, have to do some reassessment and reevaluation.
I got a text from a friend of mine who follows that division pretty closely this morning, Greg, and he said, the Rams just won the NFC West last night, given the injuries on both sides. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, those are easy things to say now. You know, Seattle's been there. I think they're a tough team. They're a resilient team. I wouldn't rule them out. I think the Rams have played really good football. particularly offensively. And I think their defense has gotten a little bit better as the season's progressed. But, you know how this stuff goes. That stuff's always – predictions like that,
sure,
they're fun. But, you know, I'm not in the prediction and the prognostication business, Murph.
Yeah, I know. It's week-to-week league. That's why we get you every week.
That's exactly right.
One last question. There were some rumblings about – now, we had actually Kim Jones on yesterday. She kind of poo-pooed this. But there were some rumblings about the Giants now actively looking for a quarterback. You think this is, you know, the end of the road for Eli Manning?
I think if the Giants were to change coach and change personnel people, that could happen, because sometimes, you know, new people like to come in and they like to start over. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of people are saying that McAdoo is done. You know, it's just, they're waiting for the season to end. I don't know what they're going to do with the front office, Donald. Could they look to trade Eli? I think that's possible. We've seen that before with, you know, older quarterbacks who then go to another team. I don't think Eli is done as a player. I think he's in the worst possible situation he can be in. He's essentially a pocket quarterback with no run game, a poor O-line, and limited weapons. Pocket quarterbacks can't function in that scenario.
That's sad to watch, too. Greg, thanks for this. We'll be watching over the weekend. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Greg Cosell, he is the analyst, executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can watch it tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. on ESPN2, Sunday at 6:30 a.m. at ESPN. He's also a senior producer at NFL Films for more than four decades, and Greg joins us every Friday at this time, 1 o'clock on Fridays. We talked a little bit about Drew Brees. Again, he didn't do anything to encourage me about the Bills' chances on Sunday.
I don't think anybody's going to do anything to encourage.
I'm hanging out there on my own on this. But I understand that. But, you know, Brees is good. Brees is really good. We acknowledge that. And the challenge for the Bills is trying to get some, not sacks, but just getting some heat on them to change things up a little bit.
You know, we talk about Drew Brees. He is good. You know, the crazy thing is Drew Brees has been good every year.
Right.
They haven't been that good, you know, but because – they haven't had anybody else but Drew Brees, you know, and he's doing it all. He's still putting up crazy yards on offense, but they haven't had a defense. This is going to be the interesting thing, all right? This offense truly got beat up last week. Too many mistakes. The offensive line got beat up. You had fumbles on the outside with, you know, some of the receivers. You're expecting a bounce-back game from this offense across the board, and that's everybody included, running backs, quarterbacks, O-line, receivers. You're adding some new weapons to this thing. The Saints defense is playing very well, and he talked about it. We had Mark Kelso come on and say this is, you know, the best defense they faced this year. But it's going to be interesting to see what this offense can do against this defense, because it's not like they've been playing some of the best teams in the league. Now, we say that with the Bills, you know, and we say, look, you play who's on your schedule.
Right.
And this defense has played well, but it's not like they're playing some juggernaut offenses and they're just shutting them down. So let's see if here in New Era Field, you know, this offense can get going, get running the ball, throw the ball down the field a little bit. Let's see if this Saints defense can stop it.
And let's see what kind of pressure the Bills can get on Drew Brees. We've talked about it. You know, do you dial up pressure? Do you manufacture pressure? Or do you go with the front four? Do you hope that front four can put pressure on him? Kyle Williams talked about it in the locker room this week, the Bills' veteran defensive tackle, talking about trying to get pressure on Drew Brees just using the front four.
Yeah, I mean, we mix it up. We just do a few different things. But, I mean, you know, we'd rush too, you know, if we could, and drop as many as we could if we're going to affect the guy. So it just all just depends, really.
Greater pressure on the D-line to get it done when you get there, because you don't have the fifth guy, the sixth guy, as often as, say, the Jets did the other
night. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, anytime that you've got anything like that. But it also depends on protection. We don't see a lot of five-man, you know, which is typical protection. So anytime you get that, those are things where the onus is on you, and you have to go out and you have to win. There's sometimes you're battling uphill, but, you know, everybody deals with it. So we're just going to keep working, and, you know, we're going to try to affect the quarterback from the back end all the way down, and I'll take care of our job.
Which is Drew Brees, what are some of the traits that make him the great quarterback that he is?
Well, just like you know, all the other great ones you talk about, identifies everything quickly, gets the ball in and out of his hands, gets them in and out of, you know, good, bad, into good plays, you know, limits mistakes, and takes advantage of your mistakes. So it's a big challenge for us, and luckily we have we're going to have a full week of preparation, and we're looking forward to it.
Sean has talked a lot about hands and hand placement and fighting with your hands and how much that might have contributed to not tackling as well as you guys could have on Thursday night. How important is that for a defensive lineman, and why is that so important?
Well, it's important for all of us because, you know, this defense is very clear on your jobs and your responsibilities, and when we're stopping the run and when we're playing well, it's really all 11 of us. The way that we play things and we kind of spill things, our corners have to come up and play, our safeties have to come up and run support. So it kind of falls on all of us. We all have to get on and off of blocks, and even, you know, like three or four of the really big runs that accounted for almost 100 yards of rushing the other day, we're in position, we just didn't make the tackle. So, you know, getting back to a full week, having some good rest and getting a good work weekend, I think will help us.
Kyle Williams talking in the Buffalo locker room. There's a plan there. Now they got to execute the plan, and they've given up some 300-yard passing games to quarterbacks in recent weeks, but they have a plan. It sounds like, at least according to Kyle, they feel pretty good about their plan.
I think they feel good. You know, I think they probably had a good plan last week. They probably felt good about that one too. You know, they just didn't come out and execute it. And we always say football is a game of matchups, all right? How do you match up with the team that you're playing? And that's the start, okay? How do you match up? You have the players to match up with their offense. If you feel like you do, all right, good. If you feel like you got a good game plan going in, good. At the end of the day, it's always going to come down to making the plays on the field, all right? You get an opportunity for an interception, you can't afford to drop it if Drew Brees gives you one. You can't afford to drop it this week. You get opportunities to tackle, you can't afford to miss tackles against Ingram and Kamara because they have the ability to take it to the house. You can't afford to get caught, you know, checking with the referee or something like that because Ted Ginn is fast and he's going to blow right past you, you know. So
I know the play you're thinking of.
Right, exactly.
Why would you throw that out there?
I'm just saying, you know, these are mistakes that you can't afford to make against this offense.
Yeah, and Kelso said that too, right? You got to play mistake-free.
Yeah, you got to
play mistake-free. Nobody plays mistake-free.
No, you don't play mistake-free, but you can't have too many mistakes. You can't have missed tackles.
All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Deuce McAllister in a couple of minutes. He is the color analyst for the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, former first-round pick of the Saints back in 2000. Deuce McAllister, more thoughts on the Saints when we return. We will hear from you as well if you got thoughts on who the key player is, the key figure for the Bills in this game coming up against the Saints. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're getting you set up for the Bills and the New Orleans Saints. No practice today for Cordy Glenn. He's been ruled out. And Deion Dawkins will start his fourth game as a rookie. Zay Jones ruled out with his ankle, questionable for Sunday. Chantrell Henderson, Charles Clay, and E.J. Gaines. That's the Bills practice update. The Bills off the practice field just about 1 hour ago. Meantime, checking in with the opposition on the line with us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a man who is in his second season as the color analyst for the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Been around the Saints for a long time. He was their first-round draft pick in 2001 and played 8 years with the Saints as an outstanding running back, got a Super Bowl ring with New Orleans. Happy to have Deuce McAllister on the line with us. Deuce, John Murphy and Donald Jones here. Thanks for coming on with us today.
No problem, and good afternoon to you fellas as well. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. You're coming up here with a Western New York native, your partner there, Jim Henderson, Rochester native, the play-by-play guy. I bet he's excited about coming to Buffalo, huh?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, anytime that he can come, you know, come home, so to speak, is always good. So I know he's looking forward to it, excited about it. And I know for us, we're looking forward to it as well.
Has he given you any, I guess, any, I'm sure you guys are probably going to go out and eat or something like that. Has he given you any ideas?
We have reservations at one of the good steakhouse. I cannot think of the name of it right now, but we kind of let he and our producer handle that. And very few times have I been disappointed when they pick it.
I bet it's Danny Sheehan Steakhouse in Lockport. Not really. I just threw a plug in for my buddy. I just wanted to throw a plug in. The door was open. I walked through it. Hey, Deuce, tell me about this. The Saints used to have, and this goes back to your playing career, they used to have the reputation as not a good team in colder weather. It's going to be 43 degrees and cloudy up here in Buffalo. Is that still applied to this New Orleans Saints team? Are they a dome team?
Well, I think until they prove it, you know, otherwise, I think that has to be the case. I mean, you can go and look when they cold temperatures, you know, whether it's, you know, playing there or playing even in Carolina sometimes during the fall or up in Green Bay. you know, you hadn't had a lot of success. And I think some of that also is the teams that you're playing. You know, I think that that has to factor into it as well. But, you know, until they prove otherwise, you know, I think that you have to believe that.
Dudes, you got to believe, though, that the team this year, I mean, this is a different style of ball that they're playing down in New Orleans. It's not just the Drew Brees show now. You know, they have a true running game. You have to believe that, and they have a good defense, or at least they're playing very well right now. So you got to believe that this team is at least built for some weather.
Well, I would definitely agree. I mean, when they were throwing it around and, you know, averaging almost 350, 400 passing yards, you know, the second coming of the greatest show on turf, and yes, it favored more of a passing offense. But, you know, right now, the balance that they've been able to have the last really seven games, this is the second highest percentage of running attack that they've had since the year that they won the Super Bowl back in 09. I mean, so since Sean has been with the Saints since 06, this year they have the second highest percentage as far as rushing is concerned, and they've done it pretty well. So they have the ability to run the ball, but, you know, with Drew Brees still being the quarterback, you know, he's been very efficient, and he can still toss it around a little bit.
Deuce McAllister, our guest, the all-time leading rusher in New Orleans Saints history. And you have a front-row seat for a rookie who looks like he's embarking on a pretty good career as a Saints running back. What can you tell us about Alvin Kamara? What kind of a back is he, Deuce?
Well, he is probably, you know, we knew when you draft him what you were getting as far as the receiver, as far as Alvin Kamara, and he would fit perfect into how Sean likes to use his backs as far as, you know, creating those mismatches, whether it's linebackers and or safeties. But what he's been able to do is really run inside of the tackle a lot better than I ever thought he did at Tennessee. And so that's a credit to him and, you know, just coaches being able to find plays that he's comfortable with, you know, whether it's counter, whether it's inside zone, whether it's power, you know, or even outside zone. He is showing that he could be a first and second down back, not just the guy that they put in on third down.
Now, you know, we've been talking a lot about Kamara because, you know, he's a weapon. He can take it to the house really from, it seems like, anywhere. And he catches the ball very well out of the backfield. But is it his show or is it still Ingram's show?
No, I think it's still Mark's show. I mean, I think it's a complementary football when you think about both of them. You know, you knew going into, just because I played in that system, we knew going into that to the year, at some point Sean would get both of them on the field, and he's been doing that more and more. And so now defenses have to declare how will they play them. You know, will they stay with a traditional 4-3 defense, or will they go nickel? And if that's the case, who is going to cover who? You know, as far as are they going to put a linebacker on Alvin Kamara, or are they going to walk down a safety? And so if that's the case, then other guys have opportunities to make plays. And I think that's what Sean has been able to do, just as they give him more. And the other thing that Drew really, really has a lot of confidence in him is running different routes, not just out of the backfield. And, I mean, I've seen him catch the go route. I've seen him catch slants. You know, obviously we've seen him work the screen game. But, you know, his ability to run the slot receiver routes has really opened up that playbook as well.
Hey, Deuce, you played with Drew Brees. You see him now on a regular basis as you cover the team on the radio. What, when he struggles, and I know it's pretty rare, what's the common thread? I mean, what have teams, the teams that may have had some measure of success against Drew Brees, what have they done to make that happen?
Pressure up the middle.
Up the middle.
Pressure up the middle. I mean, I think the one thing that, you know, if you've known Drew or covered Drew, played with Drew, I think that's the one thing that kind of affects him a little bit more than just pressure on the outside, picking up a blitz, et cetera. I think it's pressure up the middle, and a lot of that has to do with his ability to find those holes and gaps. I mean, look, you know, we're not talking about a guy that's 6'5", 6'6", right, as far as a quarterback. You know, he's right at 6 feet, and, you know, you're talking about a guy that's, what, 38, right at 38 years old. So his ability, he can move in the pocket. But, you know, if it's pressure up the middle, I think that's what's bothered him the most. Now, he does an excellent job of being able to identify coverages, identify blitz, and, you know, the offensive line, even this year, you know, they've been outstanding, only giving up, I think, 7 sacks. But his ability to be able to identify that defense and being able to solidify the middle of the offensive line is key for him in any game.
And now the converse to that question, what is it that makes him so special? What does Drew Brees do that really no one else can do in this league?
Well, when you look at that offense, what Sean Payton was able to do was really bring over Pete Carmichael, who is the offensive coordinator slash quarterback's coach. Pete Carmichael and Drew have been together since Drew was drafted back in 2001. And so a lot of the plays that they run are things that even he ran when he was at Purdue. I mean, so his ability to understand the offense in and out, yes. Now, Sean has implemented different things that, you know, obviously that he wants to run, and they've tweaked them year in and year out. But his ability to know that offense inside and out, so to go from the first option to the third option, he can do it in a heartbeat. And then his preparation as far as the quarterback to understand what teams are doing to him or trying to do to him from a pre-snap read, I think that's really where he is so good.
What about the defensive side of the ball? His defense is playing well, and that's another big change about this team. It's not just the Drew Brees show. They got a running game, but they also got a defense that's playing well. So what is it that this defense is doing?
I think it's communication. You know, last year, this defensive unit really had street free agents playing, and what I mean by street free agents are guys that were coming off the street, literally guys that they were just signing off the street. Some of them had experience. Some of them didn't have any NFL experience. I mean, for the most part, the Saints had two undrafted rookie free agents playing in there too deep as far as corners were concerned. So the Saints made the decision for the most part to play with Kenny Vaccaro in as a nickel corner. And last year he did pretty good. Now he got suspended at the last four games of the year. And I think that kind of hurt him for Pro Bowl consideration. But this year, outside of maybe the first two games, he is probably playing at a Pro Bowl level. Now Kenny has been banged up this week. I don't even know if he'll be up because he's playing with he has a growing injury. But with his ability to be able to cover the slot receiver, now, I mean, the Saints have been playing three safety package. They've been playing four safety package. And what that allows them to do is to take away the run, of a team and giving them a different look than just your traditional 4-3. You know, it's a big body guy. Can he run? Can he move? They've been able to use kind of some hybrid players as far as Von Bell. You know, Kenny's been playing strong safety around the box, which fits his suit. And it's really been a lot because of that back end. Signing A.J. Klein, who is the middle linebacker for this unit, really solidified the middle. You have Craig Robertson as one outside backer and Manti Te'o, who really plays the mic when they go 4-3. You know, and those guys have been really good. But I think it's really been the back end where it's given them something solid to be able to do some other things that Dennis Allen likes to do on the defensive front.
Deuce, it's the six-game win streak for the Saints got everybody's attention. Can they keep it going? I mean, how long when does this run out, do you think, for New Orleans?
Well, it's going to be a tough situation coming up to Buffalo. You look at that team and you look at how they've been playing. Yes, I don't really count the Thursday night game. I think that, you know, they just came out flat. They were not ready when they played the Jets. I think that you'll get a different situation. I know that they're undefeated at home. You know, the only thing that if you're the Saints, you have to figure, hey, look, man, we have got to figure out how to score fast. How can we score fast? You know, this team hadn't scored a touchdown, I think, in the first quarter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So from the Saints' perspective, they have to figure out, hey, can we get 10 points on the board in the first quarter? Can we get 14 points on the board in the first quarter? So now you kind of put Buffalo on their heels. Buffalo has played at their best when they're taking the ball away. I mean, they're leading the NFL in takeaways. The Saints, the last three games, they've been very, very, very lucky and fortunate because – they have lost turnover battles, but obviously they've won those games. If they lose a turnover battle in Buffalo, they're going to lose that game.
Okay, pretty interesting. Deuce, have a safe trip up here, and we look forward to seeing hi to you in the radio area up there on Sunday afternoon. Thanks for doing this today.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Deuce McAllister, former first-round pick of the Saints, played 8 years there with the New Orleans Saints, a couple of times in the Pro Bowl. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Now, he points out something we haven't really focused a lot of time on, Donald, and that's the Bills' first quarter Futility, 6 points scored in 8 games in the first quarter, 2 field goals, no touchdowns. And by the way, and Sean McDermott talked about it earlier in the week, Monday, I believe, they don't really come out of the locker room at halftime with guns blazing.
No.
What do you think that's all about?
I'm not really sure what that's all about. You know, I think this offense is more of a rhythm type of offense, you know. Now, I think obviously the turnovers have given them a boost, like, oh, let's go, let's get this, even though they haven't always scored off of those turnovers. I think this offense is a rhythm type of offense, you know, and it takes them a while, and it takes this quarterback, I think, a little while to understand what the defense is trying to do. It's taking the offensive line a little bit to understand what the defense is trying to do to them, and then once they lock it in, you know, once they get past those usual 15 scripted plays or whatever it is that Coach Rick Dennison has, once they get past those, it's like, okay, all right, now it's time to get going. We saw it the Jets game. I mean, they scored, I guess, like the first play, the second quarter or something like that, but they didn't really get – or they got going at least later in the first quarter. They can't afford to do it against this Saints team. Right. They really can't, you know. And as he talked about, you know, the Saints team, the one thing that they're going to try to do is score fast. They have the ability to score fast,
yes.
You know. So you can't afford to go a whole first quarter – and not score a touchdown, just get a field goal or something like that, unless your defense is just playing totally lights out.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think your best way to win this game is to play ahead in the entire game, you know, and eat the clock up with your running game. You know, stay on the field on offense, long drives. You can't afford to have three and out, three and out, three and out. You're giving the ball back to Drew Brees way too many times.
That takes us right to LeSean McCoy, and he's the guy I identify as the Bills player who will have the biggest impact Sunday against the Saints. What do you think? It's our Twitter poll. Which Bills player will have the biggest impact in this game Sunday, the Bills in New Orleans? And right now, 47% of you say it is Shady. 33% say Kelvin Benjamin. 11% say it's defensive lineman Jerry Hughes. 9% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call. We'll talk about it when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NEPA Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are rocketing through this Friday show, and we've got more programming coming up for you over the weekend if you're interested in the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott Show, hosted by yours truly, Sunday, 11 a.m. You can watch it on MSG and on Channel 7, WKBW-TV in Buffalo. Good show. We've already taped it. I just want to let you know it's a pretty good show. Coming up before the game, kickoff, 11:30 every Sunday on MSG. It's Bills All Access with me and Chris Brown, and Donald has your matchup to watch segment. Who are you matching up? Who are you watching on the matchups this week?
The one guy we talked about all week, and that is Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
This is, you know, we're looking at him versus Ramon Humber. There could be a chance, Murph, that Micah Hyde is matched up on Kamara.
All right, we'll look for that, and that's part of the show. And the third show of our weekly lineup, our weekend lineup, is Bills Tonight, coming up at on MSG at, what, 11:30, I believe, 11:30 p.m., Bills Tonight, featuring Ruben Brown and Mike Catalana. Every weekend, the Bills play, that's the lineup. Sean McDermott Show, Sundays, 11 a.m., Bills All Access, Sundays, 11:30 a.m., and Bills Tonight, 11:30 p.m., following the Bills game. What's the matter?
Now, I got this text message from someone who works, you know, at this after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
My son was at the after-school program yesterday.
Okay.
And he's playing basketball with the kids, and everybody's like, man, your son is great. Like,
yeah.
So one of the kids wrote on the board, Kayan is better at basketball than his dad. One of the kids in my own program.
It's funny you mention it, Donald. I was at an event last night for Epic. A group that I'm affiliated with, and there was a gentleman there whose name escapes me who said he plays pickup basketball with you and said you're not that good a player. I'm telling you. He said that. He said he's a good athlete.
What's his name?
I can't remember his name, but he played in Hamburg.
There's a reason why I play football and baseball.
Not a hoop guy. That's two references in one day, people saying you're not a good basketball player.
Well, first of all, these kids have never seen me play basketball.
Oh.
That's the funny thing about it.
Okay.
But, no, I won't deny that. There's a reason why I played baseball and basketball. Ran track, wrestled, and didn't play
Stayed
basketball.
Away from hoops.
Yeah.
Take a call here on this game, Bills and Saints. Tom on the west side. Tom, what do you think? How do you like this matchup?
Hey, nice talking to you again. Donald, I got your back. Hey, listen, John, you want to talk about things you said and things you didn't say?
No, let me give you the quote. This is Donald. Most of the – I have it here. I wrote it down. Most of the things I say, I usually said them. That's the truth. Go ahead, Tom. What do you think?
Okay, you said the Bills weren't good enough to have a trap game.
I said that. Yeah, they weren't. That wasn't a trap game. That was a butt kicking in New York. That, what, do you think it was a trap game? Where's the trap?
I call it a trap game, and you said the Bills weren't good enough to be a trap.
And I still say that. They're still not good enough, and that wasn't a trap game. That was a bona fide beatdown at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, it was. They weren't prepared, and that's the saddest part. I like their chance of Sunday against the Saints, but here's my question. Until they play the game, now I know the Saints rush a lot. They blitz a lot. Now, is that because their defensive front is not that good? Is that why they blitz that often? Because I've been hearing a lot about the back end and all that, but how good are they on the front line?
I don't know how good they are, Donald. What do you think up front, Saints? You know, I think they're good is at the one defensive end spot with Cameron Jordan. On the other side,
collectively, they're playing good. You know, you're not going to say across the board, man, these dudes, they have some dudes up front. You know, we're not talking about the Saints up front, you know, but I think collectively they're just playing well together, you know. With obviously you have Jordan, who's the one defensive end, but the linebackers, as Deuce McAllister was just talking about, Greg Cosell pointed out, Mark Kelso pointed out, you know, all of these guys are playing well as a unit. I think it's kind of the same as the Bills were playing earlier in the season. You know, they didn't have, like, guys that household names that people know nationally. You know, they just play collectively well.
Everybody, Kelso said it. I know Sean McDermott has talked about it this week. I even think Cosell said it. People fall in love with A.J. Klein. He's sort of a overachieving type of linebacker who flies around.
Right.
I don't think he's a dominant linebacker, but he does overachieve and play hard.
You know, because I don't think he is – you're not looking at him saying this is one of the best linebackers in the game, you know.
No,
but he does fly around and play hard, and sometimes that goes a long way. Yeah. If you're just playing hard 1,000 miles an hour all the time, reckless, everything, you know, and you're doing your job, and you find yourself making plays in the right spot, and next thing you know, they're like, man, this is a good linebacker.
Yeah. One more call here before we break for the top of the hour. Jose in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jose.
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First off. First thing I want to say, though, I'm making a challenge out to all the mafia out there, all mafia that is going to the game. I'm putting down this challenge right now.
Put it down.
I want to see at least 3 pre-snap penalties because of the crowd. I'm putting down that challenge right now. So let's see if we can make that happen.
That's a good challenge. I like that.
My thing, keys to the game is the biggest thing I see is tackling. Tackling, got to tackle. It looks like, you know, Kamara looks like he can break some tackles and everything like that. And that's probably one of my biggest keys to the game. My second key is, of course, running the ball, controlling the time of possession. We want to control that time of possession. And then my player to look out for, I was going to say Shady, but I had a better thought. I want to say Shaq Lawson. He's been too quiet. I want to see him be the disruptive presence that we know he can be. Because you know they're gonna pay attention to Jerry and they're gonna pay attention to Kyle. You know, maybe Shaq, you know, hopefully has a good game, you know. So I just wanna hang up and hear what you guys have to say about that.
I like all of that.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think you know, the time has come for Shaq Lawson to kind of reestablish himself as a force that we think he can be up front, and they're gonna need him. They need him this week. They need pressure, there's no question.
They need pressure. You know, we can't just look to Jerry Hughes and say, man, we need Jerry to get going. You know, you need for Shaq to get going too, because if Jerry gets going, then Shaq is one-on-one. And we need you. You know, there was all this talk, you think back to training camp, all this talk about, you know, everybody being happy with this defense and getting back to what I do best, and that's rushing the passer. And this is from the entire defensive line, you know. And these guys were putting pressure in the beginning of the season, back in training camp, all of that stuff. I don't know what happened since then. You know, it's not because Marcell Dareus is not here anymore. I don't know what the true deal is. These guys are in the defense that, you know, they're happy playing in, what they were good at, you know, a few years ago, what Shaq was good at in college. It's time to get going.
Sure is. Time to get going for the top of this hour. Next hour, got a lot coming up. Lorenzo Alexander in the lowdown. He'll be joining us in studio as he comes off the practice field earlier today. Coffee with the coach, Chris Brown and Sean McDermott, coming up in the next hour. And we'll check in with the great Lauren Hall, who's standing by at Oshai Children's Hospital in Buffalo. They had the big move today with the Bills kind of helping out with that a little bit. We'll talk with Lauren all about that. So come on back, 1 hour to go, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Bills practice for today is complete. They practice outside in the cold at New Era Field as they get set for the New Orleans Saints. No practice for left tackle Cordy Glenn with his foot and ankle issues. He's been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Saints. Deion Dawkins set to start his fourth game with the Buffalo Bills. Rookie wide receiver Zay Jones ruled out as well with an ankle injury suffered in the last game against the Jets. Questionable for Sunday. Again, that's not official yet, but Chantrell Henderson with a back injury did not practice today. He will probably be questionable. Tight end Charles Clay, cornerback E.J. Gaines, likely to be listed as questionable as well. Saints with some injury issues of their own, including safety Kenny Vaccaro, who has yet to practice for two straight days. Not sure about today's status. He's got a groin injury. And starting left tackle Taron Armstead, who left last week's game with a chest injury, also not looking good for the game against the Bills this Sunday. Seahawks have lost cornerback Richard Sherman for the rest of the season. He suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon in the Seahawks' win over Arizona 22-16 last night. Sherman has never missed a game since entering the league in 2011. And the Seahawks are probably going to have to answer some questions about a possible violation of the NFL's concussion policy that occurred last night when Russell Wilson was sent off for a concussion check. It appeared to be unnaturally brief check for a concussion. The Seahawks won the game. Wilson took a hit to the chin from linebacker Carlos Dansby, was sent off the field for an examination. The emergency injunction request by the NFL Players Association on behalf of Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has been denied late yesterday. That means his six-game suspension is back on, and Elliott is ineligible to play against the Atlanta Falcons. Sabres in action tonight. It is Military Appreciation Night at KeyBank Center. The Sabres play the Florida Panthers, 7 o'clock faceoff there. And the New York Yankees, in their search for their next manager, said to be ready to talk to Aaron Boone, who hit one of the most famous home runs in Yankees history. He's been an analyst on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball for a couple of years. Aaron Boone is scheduled to be one of the interviewees for the New York Yankees managerial spot. It is the John Murphy Show. John Murphy and Donald Jones, and joined in studio now by our regular Friday visitor, the harbinger of the end of the week for us, Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown. Good to have you here.
What's going on?
How are you?
I mean, he kind of yawned, you know, as you were introducing me. Well, and, I mean, he's kind of down a little bit today. Are you okay?
I'm tired.
I know. Your family's in town, though. I saw you walking around, I think, yesterday with.
Yeah.
And so is that a little bit different, you know, hanging out with the kids in the morning?
No, to be honest with you, I was up last night just listening to music. I couldn't sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody else was knocked out.
I hear you, brother.
Did you engage with the family at all?
They were all asleep.
Yeah, I'm just checking in, you know. I know sometimes that can be a little twist, you know, when you interject, you know, your wife and kids in. Nah. You just
throw off your schedule a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being real. I'm worried about you. You know, I'm your friend.
Don't be worried. It's
okay.
All good.
You just look a little down, huffing and puffing. I like that hat, though. Can I have it?
No.
You can buy it.
Right.
Just next couple of days here
until
Sunday.
I just want to know if you hooked me up. I mean, you got – I know you didn't buy it.
I'm just saying, because you know why? Because they made me – I had to promote it
from
a little bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Should have had Murph promote it.
He did a heck of a job promoting it.
They couldn't find one to fit him.
Oh, wow. Are you throwing shots at you? I thought you was off limits in this.
No, I got it.
Man.
I got a big coconut that doesn't work.
No, it's all good.
No, I am off limits, by the way, just to make sure.
Yeah.
All right. Never.
Practice outdoors in the stadium. It was 22 degrees out. A little breezy in there.
Yeah, it's more than a little breezy. I mean, I'm a California boy, so, I mean, I think the wind chill factor was like 6 to 8 degrees. So, it's cold outside. We live in it, so you're kind of used to it, but it's nothing like going out there and standing. I think it's often harder to practice in it just because, you know, the defense is up, then the offense is up. And while the offense is up, we're standing on the sideline. Or if your special teams is going and you're not participating, you're standing on the sideline versus a game. You know, you're kind of locked in. You got the heated benches. So when you come off the field, you can warm up. And then when you're out on the field, you know, you kind of – you're uber locked in, focused, and ready to go in the cold. Really doesn't bother you as much.
I remember we used to go out there and like later in the season. And by this time, we weren't even in the playoff race.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, man.
Yeah,
it was like,
harder.
Don't throw me the ball in practice.
Yeah.
That mug feels like a brick.
It's hard.
Don't throw it. I just wait till the game.
Well, as you said, you're a West Coast guy, and you played on some West Coast teams. So when you come to a cold climate and play in 45-degree temperatures this Sunday, how much of an impact is that? I mean, what do you expect to say?
Well, 45 is not that cold. So, I mean, for me, like I said before, and the initial cycle, man, it's cold out here. But once you get into the game and the flow of things and you playing and you warm up and, you know, you're doing your thing, for me, it never really affected me. But you can see some teams that it did affect. I think even, you know, talking to Lee Smith when he was here, he could tell that some of his teammates were kind of affected. And it really wasn't even that cold or that wet.
Yeah.
But coming from California, that shock sometimes can get you. You know, versus us, that we have to wake up in it, take our kids in it, walk around in it if you want to get around. So you kind of acclimate to it a little bit over time. But when it's cold, it's cold. You just have to go out there and focus in and play fast.
You know, I regret I didn't get a chance to say hi to Lee Smith when the Raiders were in here. But I've seen – I've probably watched 3 or 4 Raiders games this year. You play with him. I think every Raiders game I've seen, he picks up a personal foul this year.
He's just ultra-aggressive. That's how he plays. I mean, I've warned guys before. I mean, he even got Reggie Ragland in one. I was like, my gosh. Him and KO, that's how they play. KO got me a little bit. But you, those guys you have to watch because they play through the whistle. Yeah.
And it's funny to watch Del Rio's he has, like, an interesting dialogue with Lee Smith. Like, we've talked about this. And Lee Smith comes over and shrugs. And it's just kind of funny to watch.
It was like that here. When he came out, it was like, dude, calm down. What is your deal? Hey, what'd you think of all of the fights? Is it, like, a certain point of the season where everybody's kind of
I don't know. All that stuff was kind of, some of that stuff was just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what guys are thinking or what's going on. I wish I could kind of point to that. Yeah, hitting people in the helmets. And I don't know, some of that had to be some, like, history. Like, I seen you in the offseason, you know, in the street somewhere, and you gave me one reason, and now I'm going to go get you. So, I mean, because half that stuff, you know, you poked me in the head, pushed him, and you come around. I mean, it was just crazy. Yeah. You're talking a little trash, and you push me late. All right. I mean, it's not nothing to go that serious, but I don't know what was said either.
The whole throwing punches thing in football
with the helmets on.
Yeah,
you got to rip the helmet off. It's an art to doing it the right way. I've seen some guys do it the right way. You know, you can throw a punch. You got to get up underneath the face mask though, and get up in there a little bit. So, but I don't condone any of that violence on the field.
Disclaimer.
Yes.
I feel like I'm doing a hockey show all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right? With Andy Peters, you guys talking about fights? Really? Does the league handle it correctly? Do those fines and even a suspension do anything to deter
you? Yeah, I mean, that definitely deters you. Obviously, you're hitting your pockets, which nobody likes to, you know, money taken from you, and you have no control over where it goes or what foundation it goes to. And then number two, when you're suspended for a week, you feel like you let your team down.
Yeah.
Now you're not out there, especially you. I mean, you have A.J. Green, Mike Evans, that are two premier players in this league, is going to give your team a chance to win.
Yeah.
So as those players, I know they probably, you know, was heartfelt about just not being out there for those guys.
You know, Jalen Ramsey in his young career is known as one of, like, the biggest trash talkers best trash talkers in the league. For me, it was Antonio Cromartie. Dude just never stopped.
And yeah.
For you, who is it that just always just gnawing at you all the time? Like, shut up.
I mean, most cats don't gnaw at me. You know, most guys respect you and they don't really say nothing. Like, a lot of guys don't talk trash like Larry Fitzgerald. You know, there's just certain guys you just don't talk trash to. But the most trash talk I've ever seen was Steve Smith. Once you got on him, and then he would just go off the charts. It was never directed at me because I obviously wasn't a corner. But when he gets going, there are no lines. He gets personal, in your face, aggressive, dog you out, you know, catching 200 yards on you and talking about your mama. So, I mean, so him, and it worked for him. He was probably one of the best I've seen do it.
You mentioned Larry Fitzgerald. I brought this up earlier on the show, and I know you played there and you've been around several stops in the league, but I feel sad watching Arizona Cardinals. I don't know if you saw last night's game, but you can see that the whole thing is –
Yeah, just because you saw where they were going.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially over the last couple of years, you know, they had such great promise of with Bruce Arians getting there, you know, becoming a playoff team, then having a Super Bowl kind of attached to your name, having those chances, and then Carson gets hurt a couple of those years. And obviously Larry is probably one of the best to ever play that position. And for him to kind of go out the season's not over, but to go out lackluster like he has after having those last two or three seasons, as far as team-wise, I mean, it is hard to watch it for him.
That's a good place, isn't it? I mean, a good culture out there.
It's a great culture. You know, I was there for two and a half years, and what they really started to establish was great, kind of like what we're trying to do here in our infancy.
All right, Lorenzo Alexander is here for the lowdown as he takes a look at this matchup, the Bills and the New Orleans Saints. So let's dive into the lowdown. And the first thing, obviously, you're playing defense against, yeah, what, the second-ranked offense in the National Football League.
Right.
And there's something about the Saints' pace that you think could give teams trouble, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely climbing up the rankings. I think the first 2 weeks kind of set them back, and they've just been climbing back up. But with Sean Payton and Drew Brees being together for so long, their first 15 is ridiculous in the sense that they come out with many different personnel groups, same formation, but just running people on and off, doing a lot of motions and shifts. And as a defense, sometimes you can get caught up in all that and adjusting, people running over, you know, changing strengths, and you play soft because they get you worrying about the shifts and motions instead of what the play is.
So,
yeah, just a little bit because you're moving around. You're not set. It's easy to run, come downhill when my feet are set. I see the formation you're in. Mm-hmm. So they get you worried about all the shifts and formations and kind of cloud the picture when a lot of the formations are the same. But they do all the shifts in motion and they end in the same set where if they just stood there, you could say, oh, I'm downhill. This is belly kick or this is a TRC, which is a deep over, because you can see it. But when you're moving around, you don't really have time to kind of locate, okay, oh, this guy's at number two, and gives you those indicators where you can play fast as a defense and downhill aggressive.
You know, we talk about, and I talk about because I played offense, how important the first 15, 20 plays are as they're scripted for most teams.
Yep.
How important is that for you for a defense, you know, to get a beat on what it is that they're trying to do?
Well, the biggest thing for us, I think, during the first 15 is making them one-dimensional. Knocking their game plan off where now when the coordinator's over, it's like, well, I thought this was going to work. I'm not quite sure. So getting them to start second-guessing what their plan was. We're going to react. I know, like, Andy Reid, every time we used to play when I was in Washington, used to have you running all over the field, all these screens and stuff. You know, Sean Payton has certain tendencies as well. But if you go in there and execute, they really want to run the ball on us. And that's kind of counterproductive, what you think, especially with Drew Brees. But with Kamara and Ingram, the way they've been playing – so trying to get them the ball, whether it's screens or running on the running game, if we can go and snuff that out and make them one-dimensional, then we can be fine. Then they'll kind of slow down their pace, you know, kind of get in a regular rhythm, and then we can kind of pin our ears back a little bit and play fast and downhill.
Lorenzo, one of the things that I've thought in recent years is totally underrated, and people don't even give it as much credit as they should, and that's they have a coach, a head coach, a coordinator, and a quarterback who've been together for a long time, and they probably speak in shorthand. They probably see the same things, communicate the same way. That's tough to beat, right, when you get at least two guys, a coach and a quarterback, or even a coordinator in this sense, who, you know, they know where they're going. They know what they want to do.
Of course. I mean, the quarterback is an extension of the head coach who's the coordinator in this sense. And if they can see the same things and understand, they can talk well and communicate well, you know, Drew can go out there and dial things up without even necessarily going to talk to Sean, because they're of one mind, essentially, and can make great adjustments in the continuity there. So when you have guys coming in and out, whether it's injured players or not, Drew can talk to him, Sean, and other guys can help out because it's been one system for so long.
Yeah.
So it's not a big learning curve. Guys can just jump in and they don't miss a beat because of that that history together.
It's like being married, you know, or like Donald and I, you know, we finish each other's sentences.
Yes.
Somewhat.
Somewhat, his guy. you, as you talk about handle the Saints' tempo, are they switching tempo up a lot during the course of a game? Like, no huddle, fast.
Yeah, they're not really fast, no huddle. They break the huddle so fast, they get lined up, and then they may even snap the ball quick count. They have a lot of quick count or what we call attack plays where they just run out. They don't even look like they're really set, and they just snap it. No, nothing said.
Mm-hmm.
Or they come out really fast, do some shifts, some motions, and then snap the ball. And that's even quicker the first 15 because I think Sean really does a great job of just, okay, this is my plan. I'm going to stick with it. So he just rattling off 1 through 15. Then it slows down once you get through 1-15. After you get through the first 15. Mm-hmm. But their pace is just so quick. They break the huddle really fast, and we just have to make sure that we're set and have good eyes and handle all that shifts in motion, like I said, and then you'll be fine.
The elements of how the Bills can win this, the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. He says control the Saints, handle the Saints' tempo. Number two, you put the onus on the Buffalo offense to help you guys on defense out a little bit, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is kind of twofold. Obviously, with a great offense, the best way of defeating them is not allowing them to be on the field. So if our offense can control the clock, move the ball, mainly with our run game, run some time off the clock, obviously getting Shady going, and that opens things up for Tyrod and Kelvin in the passing game. is always going to be huge. And also, when you're controlling the clock, you're staying ahead of the sticks. We're not creating negative plays that we've seen earlier on, you know, starting a series first and 15 or second and 15. I mean, you're behind the sticks. It's kind of hard to ever really get in a true rhythm. Mm. So if those guys are able to do that and consistently do that, not only do we help ourselves from an offensive standpoint and putting ourselves in advantageous third downs because they have sacked the quarterback a lot as well, it helps our defense as far as staying fresh, keeping Drew and them boys on the sideline, and limiting their opportunities for those explosion and exciting plays that they've been known for, accustomed to, especially these last six games.
You've had about a week's worth of practice with Calvin Benjamin. How does he look in practice? What do you think of him?
He looks good. I like him. Obviously, I haven't got a really good chance to know him, but he's out there working hard, fitting in. He's really, I think, melded into our culture and excelling. Obviously, we want to see what he does on Sunday, but I have no doubts that with his skill set and the coaching and the ability for him to get down the field and catch the ball, he's going to make an impact anytime he's on the field.
You faced him earlier this year. Going into that game, what was your thought process? You're not a corner, not a DB.
Right, I don't have to deal with that, man. 6'7", 250, you know, whatever, can run, can jump, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's one of the best younger receivers in the league because of his skill set. And he has all the skills and talents available to him for him to be great. Obviously, they had a lot of receivers. Now he's here. He's our number one guy. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little bit different of role. So I'm excited to see how they integrate him into the system and how effective he is. But I have no doubt that he's going to be stellar on Sunday. But a guy like that, I mean, it's not too much you can do to stop him because he's 6'7". You can double him, throw the ball up. Really, for us, I think it was Jordan who had a good hit on him early in the game, and that might have took him out. You know, anytime you're physical with a receiver, because they are receivers at the end of the day.
Chill out. Chill out.
I see where you're going.
You know, I'm just saying, at the end of the day, you are receiving. On how big? I mean, it just is what it is. You play offense for a reason.
All right.
You know, so that's the only way I can see that you ever take a great receiver like that out of their game is if you're physical with them consistently through four quarters.
You're just gonna let that sit there.
I gotta let it go. He's right. I can't.
That's the only thing
truth.
I can see.
If you're physical at the line of scrimmage, if you're physical and you hit them all the time, it's just like quarterbacks. You know, you hit those dudes all the time. They're like, I'm tired of getting hit.
All right, the lowdown part three from Lorenzo Alexander, and this goes back to you guys on the defensive side of the ball, and really kind of a failing of the Jets game from.
Yeah, just showing up our tackling, and going back and watching the film, it wasn't as bad as it felt on the sideline. We just missed, you know, and you miss three or four tackles, that turns into some big plays, and it just, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And that's just really what it came down to. So just having some great fits, and once we get there, wrap up, and making sure the first guy is wrapping up and not trying to strip the ball. We had one or a couple of guys trying to get the ball up, but nobody else was there to secure the tackle, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have to we're so ingrained in ourselves sometimes with stripping the ball that – when you're the first guy there, though, you have to realize, let me secure it and then let my teammates come in and try to strip the ball. And that happened a couple of times, but we just need to make sure we're in great position, great fits, and bringing our arms and our feet and wrapping up and securing it and then rallying to the ball. I felt that was kind of somewhere we kind of lacked, too. Normally, a guy misses, at least have the stack and what we call sharks chasing it down and getting the guy down.
You know, Murph and I were talking about this whole Thursday night football thing. And once you get to this point in the season, everybody has injuries, everybody's sore. You know, playing on Thursday night is tough to do. Mm-hmm. Your body still hasn't really recovered. Does that go into tackling? It's a physical. Now, I understand. I know what you're going to say.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because they tackled well, we didn't. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to pinpoint why we played the way we did the Thursday game because the week was so short. It's not like we had a normal week of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday where I could come back and say, well, we didn't fit that well in practice, or we didn't have the energy in practice all week, or we were not focused in practice all week. It was such a short week, and you go out there and play and lay an egg.
Right.
I mean, it happens. I mean, if you look at the Patriots the first couple of games this year, it's like, what is up with them? Mm-hmm. I mean, but they recovered and became more consistent. So I look at it as a blip on the radar, not an indicator of who we are. We just had a bad game defensively as far as tackling, and we look forward to bouncing back, not bringing that baggage with us because we know we're good, we know we're capable. Just have to go out there. I mean, the biggest thing that I didn't like, and I was part of this, that nobody stood up just to make the play. If we had one guy go out there and make a big hit or big tackle or the interception or something like that, I think we would have dug ourselves out of that that kind of that rut that we were in on that game last week.
Lorenzo, thanks for this. We always look forward to your visit here on Fridays.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure, man.
Provide some clarity.
I need that hat, though, too.
We'll get
somebody get me a hat, man. I don't know who it is. Who I need to talk to?
I couldn't tell you who to talk to. You know, I just
you just showed up.
Yeah, it just appears like we need you to wear this hat and talk about it.
You could give it up though.
Yeah, I don't understand. I like hats. I wear hats. You see me? I hate my head.
You might be a little
cold. Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. Now I can go wear it today, and then people can. Excellent, a little loose. Your dome a little bigger than mine.
A little loose on mine, too. Don't worry about that big dome.
Excellent. Yeah. Maybe this is the start of a better relationship.
Yeah, maybe. I know he was waiting to see if it was going to fit my head, so I'm glad it was a little loose.
Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown every Friday. This is a special Friday because Oshai Children's Hospital in the midst of their move to a new location, and Lauren Hall was there to cover it with the Buffalo Bills angle. Let's go to Lauren.
Hey, Murph and Donald. We are here at the new John R. Oshai Children's Hospital. It's a really special day because it's move-in day. We have President and CEO Jody LeMayo here, and this place has new hospital smell.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's unbelievable. I was just saying it's a game changer for Western New York. I couldn't be more excited, more thrilled for the community.
How has the move been going so far?
Spectacular. We gave a brief update earlier, and I said that the plan's been executed to perfection. We're slightly ahead of plan right now, and I would say within 24 hours of our 7 a.m. start time, all of Bryant Street will be over at the new Oshai.
How is the move being executed? I'm sure it's extremely complicated.
Very complicated, but what we've done and we've always believed in is just preparation. And so similar to any football game plan, it's just preparation and practice and so on. And so for us, it's been mock move after mock move and dry run after dry run and tweaking and refining the plan. And to watch it come together and the teamwork that's needed to do that, it's the parallels between football and what we do in healthcare here, and in particular this move, are really very similar.
And speaking of football, we also have Bills president and managing partner Russ Brandon here. Russ, why did you want to come out today?
Well, I'm here to support Jody. Everything that we've done as an organization together collectively, we've worked together for many, many years, and to be a part of this special day, what this means to our community, it's really a historic day. And to see all of, like Jody said, you know, all of the preparation, the game plan that's gone into this is amazing, and we're honored to be partners as we have been for many, many years.
And we're pleased to announce that there has been a new arrival since the move.
There has been the lullaby. We just saw the father in the elevator.
We did. It's confirmed.
Yet, but we did see Dad, and he seemed very happy. And soon, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of hoopla around that baby. And boy, what a forever moment for that family.
And I think that baby's getting a Bills jersey.
A Bills jersey, absolutely. One Buffalo. That's what I say, right?
It's on the way. It's on the way for sure.
Jody, good luck with the rest of the move today. Our friends of the Bills are, of course, we're so excited for you, and we're celebrating with you today. Thank you so much.
And good luck to my friends at the Bills. Like Russ said, I mean, it's been a tremendous partnership for us, and I'm a fan first and a Buffalonian, and we're close, so I can't wait.
Murph and Donald, back to you.
All right, Lauren Hall standing by. Thanks, Lauren. She's at the Oshai Children's Hospital, the move of the hospital today. Our thanks to Lauren for that. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about NFL true and false, and Chris Brown has coffee with the coach, and we're able to eavesdrop on that conversation. Come on back for that. Plus, you can weigh in on our Twitter poll. Who's the key for the Buffalo Bills? Who's going to be the key performer in this game against the Saints? We're asking you on Twitter. Love to hear your input on the telephone line at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. ReedsGens brings you the diamond in the rough. This week, it's wide receiver Deontay Thompson. He's on his second stint with the Buffalo Bills. He played one game in 2014 and re-signed the team back in mid-October. In his regular season debut with the Bills against Tampa Bay, Thompson caught four passes for 107 yards, including a crucial 44-yard pass in the fourth quarter to set up the game-winning touchdown. And during Thursday's game against the Jets at the Meadowlands, Thompson brought in seven catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. Deontay Thompson, this week's Diamond in the Rough, presented by ReedsGens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. Zay Jones is out of Sunday's game, so you would think there's going to be a role to play for Deontay Thompson, Donald. I would think, the starters, if you're looking at three starting receivers, it's going to be Calvin Benjamin and Jordan Matthews and Deontay Thompson, I would think, right?
Those are your top three.
I would think so.
I think so.
Maybe Holmes. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Holmes will work into the equation, but, I think Deontay and Tyrod have a rapport.
I hope Tate's active.
I hope Tate's active as well. You know, I don't know how much he'll be used on offense, but I hope he's active for return work for sure. Yeah. You know, and he can help out on offense if something happens.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I hope he's active for every week moving forward.
Our Twitter poll today, which Bills player will have the biggest impact on Sunday's game? You can take that and spin that any way you want on Twitter with over 3,200 votes in. Almost half of you, 46% say Shady, LeSean McCoy. That's where my vote would go. 34% of you say the new guy, Kelvin Benjamin. 11% say Jerry Hughes. 9% have somebody else in mind. Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Which Bills player will have the biggest impact in the game against the Saints on Sunday? Donald Lorenzo talked a lot about disrupting the pace that the Saints are going to want to set right from the outset in this 15-play script. When you played, did you always script plays at the start of every game? Is that how it went?
Yeah.
And what's the plan there? How do you adjust when the script starts playing out?
Because you're trying to figure out what they're doing to you, you know. So the goal is you have 15 plays. You want to be creative so that you can say, okay, if we line them up here, what are they going to do? If we motion, what are they going to do? You know, and the Saints are very creative in what they do. Coach Rick Dennison does the same thing. You know, in his first 15 plays or if it's 20 plays, I don't know how many exactly, but they have a certain amount of scripted plays to try to figure out what it is that they're doing. Now, what happens when your first play of the game, your quarterback gets sacked?
Like against last the Jets?
Week. Exactly.
Yeah. Then what happens?
Then what happens? And that, I couldn't tell you what the coaches do at that point because it throws off all rhythm what it is that you're trying
is
to do.
Is there something
done.
In the script for second and 17 down near your old goal line? That can't be in the,
I don't
the
think
script
so.
That you put together.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that kind of throws off your script. And then you try to get back to your script the next time you get the ball. You know, and try to get it going, but you can't have negative plays. And this team has had a lot of negative plays, at least in the last game, they had a lot of negative plays. It's hard for a coach who's trying to figure out what they're trying to do when you have a penalty, then you have you give up a sack, you know, or you have a negative running play or something like that. It's hard to do.
When the script goes well and you make plays and move downfield and, you know, you got a 15-play script, let's say, and you score on 10 or 12 plays, boy, that's got to be a tremendous jolt of confidence for the rest of the game, I would think, huh?
Yeah. When your script is going well and you can, everything that you have planned is working, then it's like, oh, we're going to have a good game.
We're invincible today.
Yeah, that's what you feel like, right? You know? And as an offensive coordinator, you feel that way. As an offense, you can feel it like, oh, we're getting going now. You know, you can feel that on offense. But when you start out the game with a sack the way they did against the Jets, it's like, uh-oh. We might be in for a long one. And even though that's the first play of the game, you still have a full game to go, and you can correct a lot of things. It just does something to your psyche. You know, at the first play of the game, this dude just comes scot-free and sacks the quarterback.
Trouble. Well, hopefully we don't see that Sunday. We'd like to hear from you what you think, who are the key players for this Bills game on Sunday, who holds the key to a Buffalo victory, and how do you think this game might play out. We do have phone lines open in about 25 minutes to do it at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Chris Brown had a chance to talk with the head coach, Sean McDermott, about the plan for this Sunday and taking a look a little bit back at last week's game. Time now for Coffee with the Coach, Chris Brown and Sean McDermott. It's presented by Tim Hortons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with the Coach presented by Tim Hortons. I'm Chris Brown along with Bills head coach Sean McDermott as the Bills get ready to host the New Orleans Saints on Sunday at New Era Field. Coach, thanks for being with us. So you're coming off a 10-day layoff here, and you've got one particularly big addition to the roster in the form of Kelvin Benjamin. Everybody's excited about the addition, naturally. Coach Dennison was saying this week, well, you know, we're just getting started here. So the question here is striking the balance between getting a player the caliber of Kelvin on the field while also making him comfortable with everything you're asking him to execute. How tough is that balance?
Well, it's tough. I mean, I'm excited just like the fans are excited to see Kelvin on the field. I'm also excited to see how he integrates into our football team. And one player does not make a team. And so let's not place too high of expectations on one player. It's important that Kelvin comes in, does his job, and really is 1/11th of our overall offense.
We're looking at the midseason mark here, starting the second half of the year. Your defense has had what looks like varying strengths throughout the course of the first half. Early on, it was sacks. Then run defense has been pretty solid throughout, basically at a top 10 level for most of the first half of the season. And then takeaways, obviously, has cropped up and had a long stretch there where it was pretty consistent. Do you feel you've got a true identity there on that side of the ball yet? Like, this is what we're going to hang our hat on every week.
I don't know that. I mean, honestly, just being upfront about it, Chris, I think that we've hit some marks as a defense that we want to hit in the first year. We're midway through the season, so I think it remains to be seen what we evolve and develop into the last eight games of the season. Different personnel, some players coming back off of injury, and then again, building an identity, understanding who we are, kind of go hand in hand. So I'm anxious to see Leslie Frazier and his staff and the identity we do build throughout the remaining eight games.
Speaking of that defense, big test this week. Drew Brees needs no introduction to anybody in the National Football League or any fan that watches football. I know you know him all too well from your battles in the NFC South. This is a team that doesn't give up sacks, primarily because he gets it out so quick. So is the aim this week just to try to move him off his spot or hurry him, knowing sacks are kind of a long shot with this guy?
Well, we need to affect the quarterback. It starts with the running game. We've got to take the running game away. And then when we can do that, it does go into affecting Drew, and that's hard to do. You mentioned getting the quarterback off his spot, and that's also important. Sacking him, sometimes not exactly a realistic goal. When you go to sack Drew, you end up not in a spot to get him off his spot. So the goal is to move him off the X and make him mobile, make him hit targets while moving. So it's a big-time challenge. Yeah. It's an unselfish approach, and it's got to be a team approach as well.
All right, fair enough. Now it's time for our fan question of the week, where you, the fan, get to ask Coach a question. We go out to our own Lauren Hall at a local Tim Hortons for this week's fan question.
Hey, we're at the Tim Hortons on Southwestern Boulevard, right across from New Era Field. We are with LaDonna. And LaDonna, what's your question for Coach?
I would like to ask him, how do he feel about the cold weather games coming up this season?
All right, Coach, I know we've got three cold weather games for sure coming up here at home in December, but just your thoughts.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I really am. I'm coming from Carolina. We didn't have a ton of cold weather games other than the playoffs and whatnot, but I'm looking forward to getting out in front of our fans, whether it's the home games or road games that we have coming up. This is football weather. This is part of the reason, the allure of coming to Buffalo, and I can't wait for those days when, you know, it's 30, 40 degrees and maybe a little snow flurry in the air, and teams in particular have to come to Buffalo to play us.
All right, good enough. Good luck, Coach, staying unbeaten at home this week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. This has been Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Coffee with the Coach. Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop, the official coffee of the Buffalo Bills. It's an inside joke. I don't know why we always repeat that. Coffee with the Coach. Coffee with the Coach. I don't even know if Coach McDermott drinks coffee, but he sucks it up for that little segment with Chris Brown every week.
He does.
Good for him. Hey, what's the key for the Bills to win this Sunday? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Nate has some thoughts on this. Calling, checking in from Buffalo. Go ahead, Nate. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. Love the show. First time I've been able to call in since normally I'm working, but got off today, and I thought I'd tell you, I think Richie Incognito is the most important player this coming Sunday.
Tell us why, Nate.
The Saints defense has been playing really, really well, and this is overall probably the best Saints team since they lost that divisional game to the Niners a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And their defensive backs are playing very well. And I think that the chemistry between Tyrod and these new receivers is going to continue to develop, but I don't really think this is the week that we're going to see the passing game suddenly go from 200 yards per game to 350 out of nowhere. That's just unreasonable to expect.
Right.
So if the offensive line can block really well and give Tyrod a little bit of time to find receivers and make sure that Mr. McCoy has wide open running lanes, I think that the Bills' offense is going to be able to stay on the field, put some points up on the board, and give us a chance to beat this Saints team, which I think is really, really good right now. So that's what I think. Mr. Incognito, make sure you ball out on Sunday.
Ball out. See that?
I heard that.
Even the people use the term. I'm a man of the people, Murph. You know?
I know that.
Changing lives out here. I'm going to have you using swag and everything. Swagalicious. Swagadocious. Use it. I'm telling you. It's good for you.
Is that it?
That was it. In terms of the offensive line, yeah, you got to get the running game going, you know, and Richie's an important part of the running game, and we know they like to use him, in, especially in the power game and pulling around and all of that stuff. So he's important, but the entire offensive line didn't play well in the last game, so I think they're all important equally.
I think, yeah, run the ball. I got LeSean McCoy is the critical guy for me for this game and trying to get the Bills back to running the ball. They do have Kelvin Benjamin, however, and you wonder what impact he would have. Sean McDermott was asked about that earlier this morning before practice. He was asked about Kelvin Benjamin, and the coach was asked if just having Benjamin might affect the way the Saints defense will play against the Bills this Sunday. Here's what the head coach had to say about that.
I think that'll be somewhat interesting, and as we – you know, it's new for us as well in that regard. It's just to see how we're going to now get defended as opposed to how we were defended before, maybe. Again, one person does not make a team. You know, I've tried to establish that. So it'll be interesting to see how he integrates into what we do. And then to your point, how other teams defend us in the different looks. So, you know, we'll just be ready to – we need to be ready to adjust to how we're being defended when Kelvin's out there.
I understand coverage and everything else. A lot of other factors will determine this, but is there in the course of preparing Tyrod Taylor to now work with this new receiver, the idea that his Benjamin's style, clearly, or his gift is challenging for those contested balls that you urge your quarterback, or do you urge your quarterback to put more of those types of passes in his direction?
Well, we want him to go through his progression, and whatever that progression is on that particular play, go through the progression, trust the system, and yet also know the different skill sets of the weapons we have out there. And in this case, Kelvin, as you mentioned, contested balls. You know, he does a good job of coming up typically with those contested balls. So, and I'm sure Tyrod, and we've spoken about that. Tyrod's very aware of that. Like he is with the rest of the players and their specific skill sets as well.
Sean McDermott talking about the Bills' offense, how it might look different, how they might be defensed different with Kelvin Benjamin in the lineup. A lot of it comes back to Tyrod, Donald, and a lot of it comes back to almost the discussion about Tyrod Taylor for a while, and the question is, will he make use of this new weapon by throwing it into tight coverages and throwing it into small windows and throwing 50-50 balls that Kelvin Benjamin might get? We don't know the answer to that. I think we all hope that he will and hope that his progression, which has been good, Tyrod's picked up his game in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but there's another level here that he can get to, maybe utilizing Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, I hope that he's not reluctant to pull the trigger, all right? Just do it once or twice so that we can, you know, he can get that confidence in him. Kelvin Benjamin has the confidence this quarterback is going to throw me the ball. And most importantly, Sean Payton on the other side says, okay,
yep,
they're going to use this guy.
Yep,
they're going to use the Charles Clay. So now we can't just put 8 in the box. You know, we can't put 9 in the box and force this offensive line to have to block against that many guys and LeSean McCoy to have to make the entire stadium miss. All right, now they have to back off a little bit, and it will give room for LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor both to run the ball.
Hey, we have time for a quick version of NFL True and False today, and it is presented by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. NFL True or False. Play last night's game, Seattle's victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Russell Wilson scrambling his way to the sideline, dodging traffic, finding Baldwin downfield. True or false, Russell Wilson's amazing scramble was the play of the year in the NFL so far. I say false. I've seen better plays. And to me, it wasn't Russell Wilson that made this play. I mean, yeah, he got away from a lot of traffic. It was the catch on the sideline by Doug Baldwin that made this play.
Yeah, I'm going to go false on this one. I mean, it was a great play
by
both of them. Russell Wilson to get loose and be able to still get that ball out. But ultimately, he just threw it.
He flung it
up. It was
there.
Like he was spinning and just threw the ball up. I mean, it's like he saw green and I'm going to just throw it that way. You know, and his receiver came down with it. I think there's been some better plays this year, some nice catches this year. Been some unbelievable plays. So I'm going to go false on that one.
And secondly, NFL true or false, Cowboys are not doomed without Ezekiel Elliott. You know the deal. He's out 6 weeks. I agree. They're not doomed. They are diminished significantly. I don't think they're doomed, though. I think they're probably still a wild card contender. No?
I think they might be. You
doomed.
Know, and I think so. I'm going to go Doom
false
on this
big,
one.
Doom is big, man. Doom is serious.
You know, it is serious. I think that not having a running back that can hit the home run for you, that's big. And I think he and Dak Prescott complement each other just like LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor. And now they don't, you know, they don't have each other out there. He's going to be out there by himself, Dak Prescott. They don't have a running back that can take it all the way to the house. That's the problem.
NFL, true or false, presented by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. We're back in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Greg Cosell from ESPN's NFL Matchup joined us, and he talked about the versatility the Saints pose on offense.
Well, I think their profile has changed, guys. I think, you know, we always used to think of the Saints as Drew Brees throwing the football, and that was pretty much it. Now they've changed their offense quite a bit. It's much more balanced. I think Brees is on pace to throw the fewest passes he's thrown in, about 10 years, and their defense has played really, really well.
Greg Cosell. Donald, I told you at the top of the show, and I didn't let all these experts deter me. I think I got a feeling, a good one, about this game. I think the Bills come out on top 27-24. I don't need a prediction from you, but am I crazy? Am I crazy to think the Bills could win this on Sunday?
I don't think you're crazy because they're 4-0 at home.
Yeah.
And I think that plays a big part in this thing. You know, I think they're going to bounce back. You know, it's do you play mistake-free football? That's the biggest question. But playing at home, that is a big plus for this team.
All right. We'll talk about it on Monday when we're on the air at 12 noon. Don't forget, we got the lineup of shows coming up on Sunday as well to set you up for the show and then or set you up for the game and then after the game. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Homander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you Monday at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.